us. They thought they could drive us off the air. They failed. We are back, stronger, louder, unbroken. Find the feeds, hear the broadcast, share the signal at alexjoneslive.com. alexjoneslive.com. We've only just begun to fight.
In the festering heart of the DC swamp, where loyalty to foreign powers trumps fidelity to the American people, Senator Mitch McConnell's condition remains shrouded in secrecy following his June 14th hospitalization after being found unconscious.
Desiree Townsend here again outside of George Washington University Hospital as we mark week three of the hospitalization of Senator Mitch McConnell following the June 14th medical emergency. As you can see behind me, the Capitol Hill police vehicles, these black vehicles, are still parked outside the hospital here, an indication that he is likely also still here.
Weeks later, no verifiable proof of life has emerged from this 84-year-old fixture of uniparty establishment obstruction. Yet his office clings to vague claims of recovery while he still blocks key legislation like the Save America Act, supported by a huge majority of the country. McConnell's wife, Elaine Chao, who jetted off to Beijing just days after the incident for meetings with senior CCP figures, including Vice President Han Zheng, is a private citizen with no government role. Chao's family shipping empire has long drawn scrutiny for deep Beijing ties, raising explosive Logan Act questions and national security alarms. Why abandon a critically ill husband for CCP powwows unless orders from headquarters demanded it?
So his wife, Elaine Chao, was found in China 3 days after he went into cardiac arrest. So we're trying to figure out where she is. It doesn't look like she has come back to the house. So I was wondering, have you seen her at all?
No, I haven't seen anyone.
The rabbit hole deepens with the eerie 2024 drowning of Chow's billionaire sister Angela in a Tesla that reportedly locked and reversed into a lake. Another accident, amid whispers of family leverage and silencing. McConnell, long derided as China Mitch, props up a Senate machine terrified of a pre-August 3rd vacancy, which would trigger a special election that could empower outsiders like Thomas Massey to seize the reins. The plan is blatant and equally seditious.
The likelihood that Senator McConnell is on life support in some way, shape, or form is actually supported by multiple studies, which puts the 30-day survival rate of an 80-year-old after an out-of-hospital cardiac arrest, now mind you, was found at his home, at less than 5%. Now, you need to understand who they are. See, Senator Mitch McConnell has a lot of enemies. He is not well liked by people on both sides of the aisle. In fact, the lack of disclosed health information and him potentially still being in the hospital on life support has actually united this country in shared outrage. Republicans want him removed because he kept blocking the SAVE Act. Democrats don't like him because he previously stacked the Supreme Court. And it doesn't appear as if he had much support from President Trump either, based on past Truth Social remarks. So with that in mind, they really is just one person, his wife. And largely, this is also based on the law. It's very likely he had either an advance directive or a living will. Even without either one of these legal documents, nearly all of end-of-life decisions typically fall on the spouse in almost every state. So when everyone says they, there is really only one person in my mind, and that is Elaine Chao.
Drag the turtle shell past the deadline, and the uniparty preserves its safe seat while unelected staffers wield Mitch's vote, as we have already seen with other debilitated absent members of Congress. J.D. Vance, as Senate President, and the State Department owe the public immediate transparency. Is McConnell alive, vegetative, or already gone? D.C.'s rot is so pungent, even Honolulu catches a whiff. John Bound reporting for the Alex Jones Network at alexjoneslive.com.
Anybody telling you not to be proud of your American heritage is insane. Or
They're a globalist technocrat trying to gaslight you into not loving your country and your heritage, because they don't want you to stand up for it, because the American ideals of the revolution and what we've done together has changed the world, and tyrants and systems of political oppression worldwide can't compete against the American system. That's why for the 250th anniversary of our republic, this July 4th, for just 3 days, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we're having the biggest sale in the history of the AlexJonesStore.com. Up to 60% off on the supplements. All the best sellers are buy one, get one free. Methylene Blue, Bovine Colostrum, Shilajit, you name it, and the Patriot Apparel, the widest selection, some of the best designs, up to 50% off. TheAlexJonesStore.com. The tip of the spear. It funds our operation as we fight the globalists, and the products are amazing. So celebrate the 4th with me right now at TheAlexJonesStore.com, and I thank you for your support.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you this Tuesday afternoon, the 7th of July, 2026. We got a lot of stories to cover, but we do have an update to the story that you just saw covered by that great Bound report. You can, of course, always find his incredible compilations and edits at alexjoneslive.com and, of course, on X at Newsbound. I believe that's his official account, but he covered what's happening with Mitch McConnell and the fact that they're seemingly, it seems, and you know, this is unconfirmed, but it seems as though he's probably dead. It seems like Mitch McConnell is in fact dead, and they're trying to hide that fact until August 4th, at which time they'll admit that he was dead, and it'll be too late for Thomas Massie to get into the race. I don't know if that's true. Maybe, you know, we could be wrong. We could be wrong here. This is one of those instances where they've come out and said that they've talked to him. So the latest from Gateway Pundit, just in, top GOP leaders, including Thune, say they've all spoken to Mitch McConnell amid rumors he's brain dead. He's not brain dead. We had a long and substantive conversation. It's like, really? But really, though, can we hear his voice? Can he give somebody a call, maybe a news station or something? And you can say, I'm still alive. They're not getting rid of me that easily. I'm being pumped full of young blood as we speak. And I'll be spry and chipper before you know it. Like, can we hear from him? No? We're just going to take your word for it? The trustworthy John Thune? Top GOP senators on Tuesday came out and said they have spoken to Mitch McConnell amid rumors this Kentucky senator is brain dead. McConnell was right. I don't know, something about that headline. It's like rumors that he's brain dead. This should not be a question. This should be provable one way or another. Is he brain dead or not? If he's not brain dead, let us talk to him. Show us a video. Take a photo with him holding today's newspaper. This should not be an opinion. This should not be up for debate. Yeah, this is Mitch McConnell waking up to vote against the SAVE Act.
Not on my watch.
I don't get this. They're like, he's not brain dead at all, even a little bit. We had such a long conversation. I mean, is anybody getting flashes of Joe Biden at the end of his presidency? Is this not familiar to people? Joe Biden being mentally incompetent? Heavens no. He's the sharpest. Every day we talk to him and we're blown away by how sharp he is. And every video is him just like walking into a wall and being like, why can't I move forward? Why can't I go forward with this? Who put this here? Yeah. Yeah. Joe Biden and Mitch McConnell are, they're actually playing high level tennis against each other right now. Actually, as we speak, they're both doing the, you know, World Cup training camp. That's why they're just too busy. Sorry. They're both participating in mathematical competitions as we speak. They're going head to head against the, Odyssey of the Mind team from China. So yeah, they're both just too smart, too capable, too sharp to make a video showing that. Anybody else? Anybody else getting flashes of Biden here with old Mitch McConnell? We've got John Thune here playing the part of Jean-Pierre, Karine Jean-Pierre, going brain dead. He's the sharpest I've ever seen him. It's like, you know, we have video of him, right? You know that we also have eyes and can see. So you want to try to moderate that lie a little bit? You want to try to soften the lie just a touch? How about you can say, well, you know, we're praying for him and he's got the best, you know, people there helping him out and we pray for his best recovery. But they didn't go with that. They went with, we're having long substantive conversations with Mitch McConnell. Really? It's been 3 weeks since anybody's seen him. Are you sure you were talking to Mitch McConnell? Was it a video chat? Maybe you're the one being fooled. I don't know. I don't believe you. I don't believe you. McConnell was rushed to the hospital on June 14th and is receiving excellent care, his spokesman said. It's still unclear why McConnell was admitted to the hospital. However, he may have had a heart attack, according to the newly released audio of the 911 call. On Monday, conservative reporter Laura Loomer said McConnell is being kept alive by machines and is brain dead. On Tuesday, GOP leaders Thune and Barrasso came out and said they spoke with McConnell at length. Leader Thune spoke with Senator McConnell yesterday by phone. They had a lengthy and substantive conversation that covered a variety of topics, including national security. Barrasso's spokesperson, Katie Noyes, said Senator Barrasso and Senator McConnell had a lengthy conversation early this afternoon. Their phone call lasted roughly 20 minutes. They caught up on the latest news impacting Senate races, the Graham Platner scandal.
Did you hear that Graham Platinum raped a woman? Did you hear that he raped a woman?
So calm down, Mitch. You need to focus on your health.
I know, but she said he raped him while he was drunk.
It's like, really? He's keeping up on all the latest gossip, is he, there in the hospice? Again, I don't believe it. I don't know. Maybe I'll be proven wrong. Wouldn't that be something? Maybe he'll come out and he'll be bright and chipper and make fools out of all of us. I don't believe it, though, until I see evidence. He went into the hospital on June 14th from a cardiac arrest. Nobody has heard from him since, except apparently the top senators who are having long, substantive conversations with him over the telephone. But we can't hear it, and you can't see him, and you can't visit him, and don't worry about it. So I'm confirmed. I mean, that sounds good to me. Sounds good. I believe you. Absolutely. Former McConnell staffer and CNN pundit Scott Jennings also rushed to X on Tuesday to debunk growing rumors that hospitalized Rhino Senator Mitch McConnell is brain dead. Jennings posted he spoke to his old friend McConnell for 20 minutes while the 84-year-old Kentucky senator recovers in the hospital. They discussed Iran, Ukraine, the unfolding situation in Maine, Jennings' visit to the TR Presidential Library, and Senate history. Oh, they had a little conversation about history. That's nice. This is like that scene from Toy Story where Woody's trying to convince him that Buzz is alive, and he's got Buzz's dislocated arm. He's going, hey, Buzz, I wish you were great buddies. And the hand is like patting him on the back. That's essentially what we're dealing with here. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe McConnell comes back out. But again, it shouldn't be a question. It shouldn't be a question. For example, if there were rumors that I was brain dead or just actually dead, I would debunk those rumors by being alive, by showing you in real time that I am in fact alive and talking to you in real time. Like that's how one would do such a thing. It's weird to be like, no, he's definitely alive. He's definitely fully functioning. I talked to him yesterday. No, you can't talk to him. No, you can't have a recording of it. No, I can't show you a photo or a video of it. Why not, though? But why not, though, is my question. So we'll wait to see any updates here. I, for one, there you go. Yeah, there's John Thune and Mitch McConnell. John Thune and Mitch McConnell having a substantive conversation about Graham Platner here.
You're doing a great job there, John Thune. You're the best leader the Senate's ever had.
Yeah, I'm waiting for that moment. I'm waiting for the moment when the Mitch McConnell corpse accidentally falls into view. All right, we'll move on. And again, the one thing that makes me question is, like, that is a crazy lie. If they're really going to come out and be like, no, I definitely talked to him last... I don't know, maybe they are talking to him. Maybe they're talking to somebody, because that would be a pretty crazy lie to try to get away with. Maybe they're talking... He's like, we talked to Mitch McConnell for 20 minutes yesterday. And it cuts to them with a Ouija board. Just like, he says yes. He says yes on canceling the SAVE Act. I spoke to my old friend Mitch McConnell this morning. The seance was beautiful. We gathered around the pentagram in the circle. We lit the candles and we spoke directly to Mitch McConnell from hell. He's still recovering in the hospital. We talked just shy of 20 minutes about Iran, Ukraine, and unfolding situations in Maine. My visit to the TR Presidential Library and even a little bit of Senate history. I told him we want to see him back at work as soon as possible. Royce White, I knew I didn't like you. Oh, there you go. Scott's conversations with Mitch. Yeah, exactly. Here's the least believable part about that whole thing. Why would you tell him you can't wait to get back to work? Like, if it was me, I'd say, sir, let's take this as a sign. You might not be brain dead yet, but how about you, like, pass on your legacy while still able to? Why don't you just retire at the height of your game before you become more of an embarrassing sideshow to the rest of the Senate? That's what his real friends wouldn't be telling him. We can't wait for you to get back on Capitol Hill there, Mitch. I know you're 84 years old, but we can still squeeze some, you know, corporate pork out of you yet. Just incredible. Really is. But we'll move on. We got a lot of other stuff to talk about. I guess we can get into the Graham Plattner stuff. I gotta say, at first blush, I just don't believe it. Like, having not looked into it at all, I'm gonna come out and say I don't believe the claims about Graham Plattner. The reason I don't believe the claims about Graham Plattner is because an accusation of rape was brought up days before his election. And he is basically deeply anti-Israel. That's kind of his whole thing. So taking these facts alone, from all I know of Graham Plattner, all I've heard is nonsense I don't care about him having a tattoo about the Nazis or something. Couldn't care less, honestly. But obviously there's a lot of people out there that really don't want Graham Plattner anywhere near power and are me-tooing him here at the last moment. I think this is bad and stupid and wrong and basically shouldn't be allowed. It shouldn't be taken seriously. If it's true that Graham Plattner raped a woman 5 years ago, then she should have filed charges 5 years ago. This is not how it works. You don't, like, get raped and then, like, keep the rape in your back pocket in case it ever becomes politically useful to you. That's weird. I don't like it. Democrats begin pulling Plattner endorsements after main candidate faces sexual assault allegations. Yeah, look, it's too late. It's just too late, because how are we're supposed to just believe you at face value? I guess he did have a Nazi tattoo of some sort. I don't know. I mean, he's a socialist scumbag idiot. Like, you don't need extra reasons to dislike the guy, but clearly they're worried. They're worried about him. Woman who dated Graham Plattner says he sexually assaulted her. Maine Democrat denied the allegations and said any accusation of non-consensual behavior is categorically untrue. Yeah, don't believe her. I don't know what else to say. It's just, it's too convenient. Sorry. It's too convenient of a political, you know, activist moment. I don't believe you. Tattoo artist lands in an unexpected role in Maine's Senate race. Graham Plattner had the skulls and crossbone design covered up faster than laser removal after he learned it was a Nazi symbol. Okay, sure. Just, Oh my God. I just don't believe any of these people about anything. It's just, we're just dealing with the biggest liars of all time. Do you think he didn't know the tattoo that he was getting giant across his chest? Do you think he didn't look up what it could have possibly meant? Okay. Okay, sure. But of course it just shows that, you know, for the most part, I mean, Democrats are only dropping him now because of this extremely convenient rape allegation. But they didn't drop him over his obvious Nazi tattoo on his chest, which I frankly don't care about, but they should. These are the people that, you know, will freak out about a stage that has a 90-degree turn in it, because if you multiply it and mirror it four times, then it could make a swastika. So is this a, you know, subconscious attack by the Trump administration? It's like, you people have been so paranoid looking for any sign of Nazism under every rock, that you've got a guy with a big "I am a Nazi" tattoo on his chest, and oh well, let's hold on, let's not jump to conclusions here. You're all absolute ridiculous frauds, I guess is my point. I despise all of you. So I don't care about Graham Plattner. I think he is another one of these, I don't know, like self-hating white people that just wants to see the country his forefathers built torn down, but he cosplays as a Civil War general while he does it. It's despicable. It's disgusting. He is a symptom of a dying nation. He's like the pustule. Like, he's like the physical embodiment of an underlying disease that's killing us. I despise him from everything I know about him, but I also don't think he raped a woman. Is this a, I have a nuanced view, you might say, about this. I want to oppose and defeat him on the basis of his ridiculous politics, not by fabricating rape charges, because of the negative consequences that inevitably come from weaponizing rape charges politically. But then again, I have principles. Let's go to clip number two here. This is the woman accusing Plattner of rape, not just sexual assault, full-on rape, apparently. She was in a situationship with him. Yeah, let's watch, I guess. Let's watch this.
You described your relationship with Graham Plattner as a very good example of what modern dating is like.
Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
What I mean by that is that, you know, I think there's a lot of situationships. I think people are dating multiple people at the same time, whether that's known or not known by the people involved. So it was just a very common practice is what I viewed it as.
And kind of casual?
Yeah, very casual. I remember, you know, obviously I've had to recall a lot of this. This is something that I tried for many years to forget. And so small details, you know, might get past me. But yes, I remember very specifically saying, I'm not into this. In my message previously, I told him I had had an old back injury. And I remember saying, like, I'm not in this. I've had a long day. My back hurts. Like I was in that kind of mood, like the leave me alone mood. In that moment, I evaluated my safety. Like, a drunk person who's blackout drunk is in my home, has these intentions with me, you know, has already caused this amount of destruction and not listening to me. And so I basically felt safest just complying. So I spent a little bit of time in the bathroom, and when I came back out, he was asleep in my bed. And at that point, I didn't know what my options were. Like, obviously, I don't want this person in my house. And when I, you know, earlier had realized how drunk he was, I knew that he had driven over that way. Like, I'm surprised he made it to my house. And if I woke him up and sent him home, like, I'm now making the decision to put somebody that drunk on the road. And I didn't want to live with the fact that, like, if he got into an accident or hurt somebody else. And I remember thinking that I could tell him to leave, and I could call the police immediately, and I could at least get him caught for drunk driving. So I was like, I'm going to let him sleep, and the second he wakes up, I'm going to tell him to leave. And so he slept. I lay there in, like, a state of panic all night, and I remember turning on, I have, like, one of those noise machines that you sleep with, and I turn it on ocean waves, and I'm like, I'll just try to meditate. And it didn't work.
What? 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 That that is the explanation of her rape. What are we talking about here? Couple of red flags. First of all, he was the one who was blackout drunk, so she raped him, actually. Right? I mean, these are the new Me Too rules that we established. If somebody's blackout drunk, you have sex with them. I think you're the rapist, actually. So she raped Graham Plattner by her own admission. That's horrifying. Poor Graham Plattner. This is one of those things where it's like, do I have to actually go through this? I mean, everybody that watched that should have immediately gone, what the hell is she talking about? Just a couple of red flags. Couple of red flags here. First of all, he's blackout drunk. Okay, so you raped him, I guess. And then she's like, I tried to bury this. I tried to forget this, so I'm having to recall this. Like, that's extremely suspicious. It either happened or it didn't. You were either affected by this and you remember it like it was yesterday because it was a horrifying attack against you, or it wasn't. This whole, like, recalled memory, like, I tried to suppress it, but it all came up seeing him on TV. It's like, I don't believe you. This doesn't sound traumatic in the slightest. And she says she agreed. She consented. She didn't say he threatened her. So let me get this straight. She invites a guy over while he's drunk. He comes in, wants to fool around. She's like, I don't want to. He's like, are you sure? And then she's like, I was scared, so I complied. Did he threaten you? Just the fact that he was drunk made you, but you invited him over. You knew he was drunk. But because he's drunk, you say that you gave consent, but out of fear. Like, that's what's crazy about this. She doesn't say she resisted. She said she gave consent out of fear. Like, this was literally, from everything she's presented, this sounds like a consensual encounter between people in a relationship that 5 years later she decided was actually rape. That's what I heard right there. Do you understand my perspective on that? Like, do you understand that you are totally invalidating the term rape when you use it like this? Now, if this woman had said, you know, this man shoved me into a bathroom stall and had his way with me while I was crying and fighting and scratching him, and I was too ashamed to admit it, but now that I see he has close to political power, I feel like people need to know who he is. But this was somebody you were in a consensual relationship with that you invited over, that you consented to have sex with, and then he just slept in your bed, and you went, you know, you could go grab, if this was actually a rape, like, you could have grabbed a kitchen knife. If he's sleeping in your bed, he is at your will. Like, you can do whatever you want. She meditated. Her response was to meditate. I don't believe it. This is ridiculous. This is an outrage. This is offensive to me that they would even call this a rape, let alone try to pitch this as if this is some horrible mark against Graham Plattner. It is, because he's, you know, clearly a degenerate loser. This is what they're running with? This is pathetic. This is pathetic, honestly. How desperate.
We're extending America's 250th mega sale, the biggest in the history of the AllShowStore.com. That means this Monday the 6th and Tuesday the 7th at midnight central, the biggest sales ever. Buy one, get one free. Up to 60% off the best-selling supplements, Patriot apparel, 50% off, and more. Take action now at the AllShowStore.com. No republic, no empire, no nation has ever survived more than 250 years. But America has to survive. The idea of America, private property, the right to lead your own life, to follow your own religion or not, so many things that this country enshrined that no other nation had became the model of the world. That's why the left, why BlackRock, why the globalists, why the WEF, why the UN openly want to discredit it. The elites don't like the idea of America because it allows the little people to have meritocracy and develop their own wealth and their own independence. The globalists want neo-feudalism. They want serfdom. They want a great reset to control us. So they've been trying to undermine this country, demonize this country, and blame all the problems in the world on the freedom of America and the West and Christianity and white people. But it's not working. The world is awakening to the Great Reset, and we are in the Great Awakening. That's why it's so important on our 250th anniversary that we remember what made America great and that we continue those values on in the face of tyranny. Because the ideas we're promoting work and are pro-human, are dynamic, and unleash the incredible competition of the human spirit and meritocracy. If we don't stand up for not just 1776 here in the U.S., but worldwide, then we allow the globalists, the megabanks, with their transhumanist, death cult, depopulation agenda to come in and sell their lie of collectivism, universal basic incomes, cashless society, control grids, the social credit scores, and the entire system of dehumanization that they're establishing. We are literally facing freedom or slavery. It's a choice we must take. So to celebrate this 250th anniversary, we have the biggest sale in the history of the AlexJonesStore.com. 50% off on all of the incredible Patriot apparel. The widest selection, some of the best designs in the world. What an adventure to wear this apparel and meet like-minded people and spread the word. And then most importantly, the very best game-changing five-star supplements on the planet. Up to 60% off, and all the best sellers are buy one, get one free. This Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, it's a flash sale. Ultramethylene Blue, the best on the market, buy one, get one free. Bovine Colostrum, the best high spray on the market, buy one, get one free. Shilajit Complex, that has all these natural peptides and boost your testosterone and more, buy one, get one free. As I said, up to 60% off on all the other supplements. The lowest is 40, the highest is 60. These are insanely good. All you've got to do is try them. We have over a 90% reorder rate at thealexjonesstore.com. And anyone who's shopping on the site should be a VIP. Cancel anytime. It's $30 a month. Instantly when you're charged, $40 is put in your account to spend on the site. You make $10, special deals, special offers, and sales on top of the sales, making a bunch of stuff loss leaders if you're a VIP. So become a VIP, commit to the American Republic in the year 2026. Help keep the broadcast on the air so we can expand the Alex Jones Network. It's a win-win. So to celebrate America and to stand against the globalist death cult, please support your own future and my future, our collective future together, by individual action at thealexjonesstore.com. Happy birthday, America. I salute all of our founders, our veterans, and all the patriots out there. God bless you all. We're extending the biggest sale in the history of the AlexJonesStore.com. Take action now.
Keep your hand on your gun. Don't you trust anyone.
All right, welcome back, folks. Yeah, I'm trying to puzzle my way through this Graham Plattner sexual assault allegation. I'm a little confused. I'm a little mixed up here. I'm getting conflicting signals. We just watched her say that she consented to a sexual account because she was scared. I don't know how you like disprove that. That could be every encounter, right? Every, like 99.9% of encounters between women and men, the men are usually the bigger and the stronger one. So every single woman could say, well, I had sex with him, I consented to it, but it was only because I was scared of what he would do if I didn't. Did he threaten you? No. Was he acting violent? She didn't say that. She didn't say any of that. She said that she, on her own volition, was like, this is a dangerous situation. I better consent. But like, what? What? So like, that doesn't make any sense to me. That doesn't, especially when it's being reported completely differently. Like from the AP News, they say a woman who previously dated Maine Democrat Senate candidate Graham Plattner said he drunkenly forced her to have sex after she told him to stop. But that's not what she said in that interview right there. Is it? Did I miss something? I didn't hear that. I heard her say that she consented out of fear. But what inspired that fear wasn't clear. Doesn't seem like it was anything, really. I don't understand. That would be a different situation. She didn't say that. She said, I said no, but he forced himself on me. That's a rape. To say, I said yes because I was scared he was going to force himself on me. That's you consenting to sex. Like, what are you talking about? Am I the crazy one here? I feel like I'm the only one taking the term rape seriously. Like, no, that actually means something. It's actually a horrible thing. That is not what this lady described at all. This is the crazy Me Too redefinition of rape. He's basically like the Louis C.K. of politicians. It's like, wait, you do something, wait, you ask a woman to do something sexual, she says yes, only to later decide actually she was forced into it. Like, this doesn't make any sense. This doesn't make any sense. And I don't like the guy. I don't want him to win. This is stupid. I don't like this. That's really all I have to say about it. This is the death of our politics, basically. This is the way it works. We can't have, you know, Thomas Massey, because Miriam Adelson is going to spend $20 million to oust him. We can't have Graham Plattner because somebody's almost certainly paying some woman to make accusations against him. Is that this is our democracy manifest. Democrats begin polling Plattner endorsements after main candidate faces sexual assault allegations. Like, here's my thing. Bernie Sanders has basically said he should step aside. Graham Plattner should no longer run because of these horrifying accusations. I don't understand that. Last month, Sanders said he was standing by Plattner in the wake of media reports that the main Senate candidate previously exchanged sexually explicit text messages with several women while he was married. Yeah, that's worse. This is worse than whatever that lady talked about. That lady talking about her consensual sexual interaction with Graham Plattner. I mean, the sexual, like the consensual part, it's like, all right, like, I don't want Senate candidate who gets blackout drunk and goes sleeps with random women. Like, he sounds like a dirtbag. Sounds like somebody who's irresponsible. He sounds like somebody who will betray the people closest to him and violate oaths that he's taken. That's what this says to me. I am more concerned about the fact he was texting with women that weren't his wife while he was married. That's actually a mark against his character. That's actually evidence that he's not a good guy, not a trustworthy person, and shouldn't be granted the authority of a place on the U.S. Senate. That actually impacts my reading of his character. This is what I don't understand. It's like, what is the moral underpinning of the Democrats? You just have to believe lies. It's like, as long as the accusation's a lie, we'll believe it. But if the accusation is true, then we don't care. That's sort of their mindset. Like, they don't actually care about any moral uprightness whatsoever. They'll pretend to if it's politically convenient. But like, if, you know, Graham Plattner was a hardcore, you know, pornographic actor, they'd be like, he's so brave. He's so, you know, progressive and sex forward. It's like, no, he's a degenerate satyr. He's like a beast controlled by his primal desires. He can't be trusted to manage a civilization. He can't even manage his own desire to sin. Like, that's actually a mark against him. That's actually his character being weak and distrustful. But they only care if the accusation is fake. If it's a real accusation, they're fine with it. If it's a real moral blight, then they'll accept and promote it. But if it's a fake rape accusation, then they'll have to pretend to be extremely concerned. Ugh. Ugh. These people, right? These freaking people. All right. We're gonna move on from Graham Plattner here for a moment. Talk about the Charlie Kirk, Tyler Robinson trial. I've been monitoring the trial. I'm a little bit confused by this. Now, my stance has always been that the number one suspect for me was, you know, the state of Israel killing Charlie Kirk. But I've always been completely open about the fact that I've absolutely no proof for that. None. I mean, other than, you know, him saying that he was worried Israel was going to kill him and just general knowledge about how Israel handles things like this in the past, their track record of very brazen assassinations over and over again. However, it's also obvious that, him saying, I think, he thinks Israel would kill him. That is obviously the top, evidence there. He was the one who first suspected Israel, nobody else. I'm glad to have some hand in that. Because, again, like I've said before, either Israel killed him and we busted their false flag before it even happened, which is hilarious, and they just didn't even slightly get away with it, or it's the one assassination they weren't responsible for, in which case I just think that's funny that they get blamed for the one high-profile killing that they actually didn't do. That's kind of ironic, isn't it? But now that the preliminary hearing is going on in which the prosecution is supposed to present evidence simply to prove that Tyler Robinson does need to be tried for this, we're seeing a distinct lack of evidence being presented. As far as I can tell, there's been almost no new video, no new nothing. Everything that we've had for months is what they're presenting, which is a little bit extremely suspicious. There is a lot of stuff about this that is not adding up, no matter how you slice it. For one thing, they say there's no video of the shooter taking the shot, despite the fact that the security camera footage that we've seen played over and over and over again of the supposed shooter running off the roof, that shot has the perch in it. It has the sniper nest, like where he's accused of being when firing the shot is in that shot. So how do you not have that video? How do you not have that footage? It seems like if the whole point of this hearing is to present evidence that Tyler Robinson is the right person to put on trial, it should be a matter of incredible ease. They should have video of him doing it. They should. We have the video perspective, and it shows where he's shooting. It shows him the seconds after the shots fired running off the building. How do you not have him firing the shots? That doesn't make any sense. That's not possible, actually. Are you withholding this for the trial? Why? But why, though? None of this makes any sense. And there's no arguing that it does. Like, what are you talking about? You don't have any additional footage, even though we have the footage of the guy running from the perch. The perch is in the shot. That video didn't start recording the instant after he shot, right? Then the cop who goes up on the roof, his body camera battery goes out the instant he goes up. And then you've got just all this suspicious, like it's, somebody takes the SD card out of the camera behind him. But then during the hearing when they're, yeah, so this shot should have him firing. Why doesn't it? Then again, even if they could show this figure doing the shot, they're, doesn't actually prove that he's Tyler Robinson. This whole thing is becoming increasingly suspicious as far as I'm concerned. So I would be happy, like, half of me has been waiting for the trial, just thinking like, yeah, they're going to come out with, if it's really him, they have to have bombshell rock solid evidence. It shouldn't be difficult. They should just be like, here's the video that we've withheld from the public. It's Tyler Robinson. Here's him going from his car to the place. This whole thing's covered in security camera footage. The fact that they haven't presented that makes me think they don't have it. And if they don't have it, it means Tyler probably wasn't the guy that pulled the trigger. I'm willing to be convinced otherwise. I've been watching quite a bit of the preliminary hearings. I have not seen anything that adds to the evidence that Tyler Robinson actually did it. It's very weird. It's very bizarre the way this is working out. Let's go to some of these videos. This is supposedly a new video of what a law enforcement officer is testifying is Tyler. They're saying that he's limping because he has a gun in the leg of his pants, but this story kind of keeps changing. I thought the gun was dismantled and put in the backpack. But here he is, I guess, walking up the stairs with a limp. Let's go to clip number 3 here. And we'd seen this footage before. We can roll it as B-roll. But I guess this is like a more full version that was provided during the hearing. But again, it doesn't actually look much like Tyler at all. He's wearing gray Converses, which is the exact shoe that Lance Twigg wears. That's a little bit suspicious. You can see the obvious limp there, and he's sort of dragging his right leg as if he can't bend its knee, which would, you know, go towards there being a gun barrel or something in it. But this is what they've got. It doesn't show who it is at all. So we'll go to some of these videos. We can go to clip number 7 here. This is Tyler Robinson's attorney, Cather Nestor, questioning Agent David. David Hull is the agent that is being questioned here by Tyler Robinson's lawyer. Let's watch.
And the question that I just asked before, which is it fair to say that nothing about the video of the individual on the roof revealed to you, you couldn't see facial features, you couldn't see what they were wearing, correct?
Of the individual on the roof?
Correct.
I know that there was a meeting to discuss perhaps a pattern on the front of the shirt that was observed when the individual was jumping off of the roof.
Okay, that's fair. But at that time, as of the 11th, before Mr. Robinson turned himself in, you all had not been able to determine that. Is that right?
Excuse me. Determine who he was or determine distinguishing features?
Determine distinguishing features of the video of the person on the roof.
Yes, we had a person of interest, and those images were released to the press.
You're talking about the ones in the stairwell from the...
Correct.
From the parking garage.
Correct.
But the video on the roof was not distinguishable, fair?
That video as a standalone?
Yes.
It was not, no.
Okay. And in fact, the video on the roof... Well, I'll strike that. Is it true that you had... some spectators that you interviewed that had gotten a photograph a few seconds before the shooting of someone on the roof?
Sorry, I'm not sure I understand the question.
Did you, at some point in your investigation, collect from two young men who were present at the event a video that they had taken of someone on the roof about 10 seconds before the shooting?
Yes, a video, yes, not photographs. A video was collected from an individual who had a video.
And ultimately, some screenshots were taken out of that video, is that right?
By
you?
Not by me, no.
Okay. That's fine. It could have been someone else.
Okay.
But did you see the video that those young men took?
If you're referring to the video that is looking north and shows an individual dressed in dark clothing on the corner of the roof,
yes.
If that is the video, I have seen that video, yes.
Did you review the interview of those young men?
I did not.
Do you know how they described the person on the roof?
I don't know if I read it or if I heard it, but my understanding was they believed it was Overwatch or some kind of a police Overwatch for the event.
Okay.
If that's my recollection.
And do you remember anything specific about the person's build that they discussed when they described the person on the roof?
I do not, no.
Okay. There is a portion of the video after the individual jumped off the roof, which we all saw here, where the individual crosses, I believe it's Campus Drive. Is that right?
Correct.
And there's a moment where the individual waits and there's two cars that pass in front of him, right in front of him.
Correct.
And is this the moment where you are submitting that he was holding a gun in his hand?
As he crossed the road?
Yes.
I, from my observations, would show that he's carrying an object in his hand that's concealed or in a bag. And it is long and has the appearance, based on my training and experience, it could be a firearm.
But do you see a gun anywhere? The actual gun?
In the video?
Yeah.
No.
All right. And did anybody that was driving by on Campus Drive that day report to you or any other investigative entity, hey, we just drove by a guy with a gun who was leaving campus and he was standing right by my car?
We did not receive any reports to that effect, no.
Okay. Also, when you were revealing the timeline, exactly how long was there between when the person was prone on the roof and when the shot was taken? Do you recall?
If you would like to replay the video, I can time it for you, but I don't recall. It was my guess, I would estimate between 15 and 30 seconds.
So between 15 and 30 seconds to lay flat, take a shot, and get up and run off, right?
I think you asked how long he was prone.
Right.
I think it took longer for him to crawl into position.
Okay.
And then establish a position.
Oh.
And then take the shot. He appeared to be in prone for approximately 15 to 30 seconds, but the video would verify that.
Okay. Thank you. All right. I want to talk to you for just a minute about the video that was taken. And I'm not going to get into I'm not going to show it, just so that in case anybody's concerned about it.
So again, it doesn't sound like they're, you know, super confident. You get a bunch of like, yeah, maybe, I don't know. I mean, the video would show that. Okay, where's the video then? And if this is Tyler Robinson's attorney, you know, it doesn't sound like they're going with anything other than like not guilty. It sounds like they are trying to question the facts gathered that led them to Tyler Robinson, which would contradict the supposed fact that Tyler Robinson admitted to what he did and gave a full confession. How are you going to give a full confession and then argue that you're not guilty at the trial? Somebody's lying somewhere. And it seems like, you know, the more this trial goes on, the more questions that I have. Let's go to clip number 10 here. The prosecution appears displeased, or rather clip number 11. This is the one. Tyler Robinson defense points out there was another bullet found on a different roof that they just didn't bother to collect. Let's watch.
Wasn't there also a bullet found on another building?
I believe an unfired bullet had been found on another building at some point during my time there on September 10th. Yes.
Which building was that, sir?
I don't recall.
Was that considered a scene that was worth preserving?
It was not. My recollection is that that was accounted for as an ejected cartridge from an officer who had cycled his rifle.
Okay, I thought you said it was an unfired bullet, and now you're saying it was a cartridge?
When a weapon is cleared, an officer would make his rifle ready, which would chamber around.
Oh, I got you.
My understanding was that that's how that was accounted for.
So an officer claimed that bullet belonged to him or her?
That's my recollection, is that was how it was accounted for.
And when was that accounted for?
I don't know specifically.
Do you remember what type of bullet that was?
I don't.
Was it a .30-06, do you remember?
I don't.
Do you know where that bullet is now?
I don't.
Okay.
Yeah, it could be somewhere. We don't know. Didn't bother. And this is kind of the thing about the Charlie Kirk assassination. It is not being treated like a normal crime. So much of the evidence has been allowed to simply disappear, whether it was stuff like that, where you're like finding a random bullet and just assuming that it's fine and not even collecting it. The car that Charlie Kirk was transported in apparently has been sold and can no longer be located, possibly like destroyed somehow. And in fact, we have a video about that. I can go to it in just a second. But one of the most interesting things I saw throughout the whole hearing was the fact that the fake arrest of the weird guy saying I did it, that had a very tangible effect on the response of the police officers. Just about everybody I heard testify to being there on the scene and what they were doing, they all said that they heard over the radio, you know, we've got the shooter, we've got him, he's in custody, and they all immediately stopped looking for the shooter. This actually had a major, you know, impact on the investigation or on the ability of the police to find out who did it, because every police officer was running around frantically looking for the shooter, and then they all get an alert, we got the shooter, we got him, and then they all start doing other stuff, and they ignore, you know, any potential sighting of the shooter. Charlie Kirk murder suspect, hold on, bring that up, I hadn't seen that one yet. ate at Chick-fil-A and changed clothes before shooting, activist agent said. The man charged with killing Charlie Kirk strolled Utah Valley University in shorts and a t-shirt, bought a meal at Chick-fil-A, and then made contact with Kirk's staff before returning in different clothes to shoot the conservative activist from a rooftop, an investigator testified Tuesday. Made contact with Kirk's staff. That's interesting. Utah State Bureau of Investigation agent David Hull described Tyler Robinson's alleged movements before and after Kirk was killed as prosecutors played previously unseen campus surveillance videos in state court. The defendant first arrived on campus about 4 hours before Kirk was killed, Hull said. So they said that they've tracked him to the campus three different times. However, like I said, the place was paved over in an emergency that weekend. Very suspicious. The car that he was transported in was completely destroyed. No, you know, evidence was preserved there. There are a lot of questions about the, you know, medical examination of Kirk and how valid that was. This is not being treated like a normal murder would be treated, let alone a high profile public assassination. So the questions continue to pile up. This seems like it should be incredibly simple. The job they have is to prove the reason why they think Tyler Robinson is the person that did it, and they don't seem to have any evidence that we aren't already aware of, other than, I guess, you know, statements from police officers about him going to Chick-fil-A. I guess that's new, as if it matters. Very suspicious. Police tracked Tyler Robinson to UVU campus four times on September 10th. The preliminary hearing of Tyler Robinson, the man charged with killing Turning Point USA founder Charlie Kirk at Utah Valley University in September 2025. The hearing had originally been set to take place in May, but was delayed and is currently scheduled to take place the whole week in Provo, Utah. Preliminary hearing is where the prosecution will attempt to establish probable cause, which again, they seem to be finding more difficult than one would think with how certain they have presented this case as being. So we'll continue to monitor it. We'll continue to find any inconsistencies and continue to ask questions, since if there's one organization I do not trust to carry out a thorough and unbiased investigation is the United States government. But I do want to tell you about this, folks. I want to tell you about that. It looks like a bell. This is the new Liberty Bell, folks. You see how big this is? See how solid this is? I don't know if you're like me. I went almost my whole life not even realizing how crappy my shower head was. Then I got a really nice shower head, and now anytime I go to a hotel or whatever, it's like torture. Showering is like torture with the crappy head. Once you move to one of these shower heads, one of these massive, incredible rainfall shower heads from thealexjonesstore.com, you will never shower the same again.
We're extending America's 250th mega sale, the biggest in the history of thealexjonesstore.com. That means this Monday the 6th and Tuesday the 7th at midnight central, the biggest sales ever. Buy one, get one free. Up to 60% off the best-selling supplements, Patriot apparel, 50% off, and more. Take action now at thealexjonesstore.com. Have you noticed all the big universities and corporate media and governments around the world run down America all day? That's because the American system stands against their globalist system. And as the public figures that out, their corrupt, tyrannical, oppressive, communistic, anti-human death cult can't compete with what America stands for. And we stand in the shoes, on the shoulders of our forebears. Whether you're black, white, Hispanic, old, young, if you love liberty and freedom, and if you want to be free, and if you want to control your own destiny, you believe in meritocracy, then America is for you. It's under attack because the idea of it stands in the way of the enemy. And America is a dream. Just like a dream to get married, or a dream to start a business, or a dream to write a poem or write a song. And when you do that, those dreams come true. But we have to breathe life into those dreams. They want to kill those dreams. Don't let them break your will. Be proud to be an American. And know people around the world still love America. Understand it's the globalists that have hijacked us. And we're in the process of taking our country back from the Chi-Coms and the Israel lobby and the globalists and Hollywood and the left and all of them. And that's why it's so important to support the next leg in the info war at alexjoneslive.com. And, of course, at thealexjonesstore.com. With the widest selection of Patriot apparel, the best supplements, collectible knives, the best water filtration, and more that will empower and enrich your life while keeping this beacon of truth on the air as we accelerate into the future and as the Great Awakening prepares the final defeats of the globalists and their Great Reset. I salute you all. This is 1776 2.0. We're unstoppable together. God bless you all. Take action now.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Folks, second hour of War Room Live is on. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. We're going to take your calls in the third hour. We have a lot more to talk about in the meantime, including clip number four here. Manhattan skyscraper verges on collapse as support columns buckle, surrounding buildings evacuated from post-millennial. A midtown Manhattan building undergoing a massive apartment conversion remained unstable and at risk of collapsing Tuesday afternoon after officials discovered structural issues inside the property, with Mayor Zoran Mamdani warning New Yorkers to avoid the region. Let's go now to clip number four.
We're working on a project. The beams were bending. Concrete was falling. Walls were collapsing. So I cover the east side of Manhattan for Steam Fitters Local 638. So I came over, make sure not only our members, but every construction worker on site was out of the job. And outside and safe and everything. We made sure everybody was outside. So I don't think anyone's going back in this building for a while. This is not something you typically see in New York City. You have one of the best labor forces in the world. So to have a building have steel bending while it's under construction, to me, it's a lack of vetting your contractors. To me, it's a lack of not picking safety over profits.
Wow. That is quite a statement coming from you, Cliff. This is Jillian. When you arrived on scene this morning, what was your top-tier, most urgent priority?
The most urgent priority is to get every construction worker out of that site.
Crucial beams inside buckling New York City building, bending like cigarettes, according to a worker. Okay. Midtown Manhattan building undergoing massive apartment conversion remained unstable and at risk of collapsing. Emergency crews responded shortly before 8 a.m. to 235 East 42nd Street after reports of falling bricks near the former Pfizer headquarters, which is being transformed into a residential complex with more than 1,600 apartments. The fire department said two interior support columns were buckling and several upper floors were sagging. A safety manager also reported that a steel beam on the 21st floor had been compromised, according to the Department of Building Records. Mamdani said the situation was still changing as officials worked to stabilize the structure. Since arriving on scene, we have witnessed additional movement in one of the compromised columns, Mamdani said, according to the New York Times. This is a minute-by-minute assessment. Officials created a frozen zone covering 40th through 45th streets between 1st and 3rd Avenues and urged residents and workers to stay away. I want to encourage New Yorkers to avoid the area, Mamdani said. And look, folks, we got to start getting used to this, okay? I know you're used to living in a country where you can trust people to do the right thing, even if it costs them a little bit, but we're moving into a new world, okay? We can't really do the things that we used to. Y'all remember when that Indian ship accidentally did this instead of this and then knocked down a bridge in Baltimore that still hasn't even begun to be reconstructed? See, we're in a very odd situation now where we're living amongst the ruins, essentially, of a much greater civilization already. We're at the point where the architectural and, you know, monumental achievements of our forefathers seem like magic because we've lost the civilizational capacity to do the things we once did. And it's like the videos of people going around to state houses built in 1924. And they're going, there's no way human beings built this. Look at the size of this rock. Look at the size of the marble. You're telling me they shipped marble all the way across the country to build a building? That's impossible. It's like, this is our trajectory. This is the way we're headed. Get used to it, folks. Buildings collapsing, bridges going down and never being rebuilt, meltdowns causing blackouts across the board. It's gonna happen, folks. It's not gonna be a big collapse like you see in the movies. It's not gonna be, you know, the purge all of a sudden and everything goes down and everybody goes crazy. But slowly but surely, our ability to uphold the sophisticated and complicated civilization we live in will degrade to the point where collapse is just seen as a know, regular part of living in America. Sorry, we don't understand how the giants that came before us built this stuff.
Globalists are collapsing worldwide. They're fighting back with tyranny, censorship, and more. And they have targeted my operation more than anybody else's. But that's okay. That means we're over the target. It means we're effective. And I couldn't have done any of this without you. All the success of my operation through the listeners, the viewers, your word of mouth, your support, and, of course, the great crew. And that's why I want to just thank you all as America approaches its 250th anniversary. We have to understand they're trying to demoralize us, trying to break our will. We can't let them do that. It's the globalists that are losing. We're actually winning. So, to celebrate America's 250th anniversary, we're launching the biggest sale in the history of thealexjonesstore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, buy one, get one free ultramethylene blue. Buy one, get one free bovine colostrum. Buy one, get one free Shilajit complex. So incredible. And up to 60% off on all the other supplements. 50% off on all the Patriot apparel, limited edition, 250th anniversary, and more. So take action now at thealexjonesstore.com and be the reason we stay on the air and celebrate our American Republic, the globalist hate.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Find us at alexjoneslive.com. You can follow me on X at Harrison H. Smith. Make sure you're following at Real Alex Jones, at AJN Live, also on X, where we post show clips and the full episodes. And, of course, you can support us by going to thealexjonesstore.com. And, folks, I shouldn't even have to say anything. As soon as you see this shower head, you should already be wanting to buy it, because look at this thing. It's beautiful. But it's not just the size of it. It's not just the incredible feeling that this will give you taking a shower under this. And I'm telling you, you don't even know. If you're still living under a traditional shower head, you don't even know what you're missing. You're missing a truly transcendental experience every single day you get into your shower. I'm not even being facetious. I got a really big shower head a couple years ago, and now I might as well, you know, those little things on the kitchen sink that you use and you use it to spray, and it's got the little nozzle. Actually, like, that's how most shower heads feel to me now. It's like, I might as well be in the kitchen sink spraying myself with the little nozzle head, because how pathetic and pitiful. You get one of these babies, it's like you're walking into the rainforest. It's like you're walking into a thunderstorm in the Amazon rainforest. Only it's even better, because you see this, big thick chunk here. That's where the filter is. So obviously, if you're filtering your water to drink it, why would you not filter your water that you're bathing in? It becomes steam. You're breathing in whatever chemicals are there. Your, of course, you know, pores are able to be pierced by this stuff. If you are taking a shower in unfiltered tap water, you might as well be drinking unfiltered tap water. It has the same effect. You know, it's why the frogs are gay. It's because their skin is a lot more permeable than ours is, but yours is still permeable. You don't have to drink the chemicals to be affected by them. They can get into your body through the shower. And I'm telling you, folks, it's multiple reasons to get this shower head. If it didn't have any filters, it would still be a better shower head than the shower head that you have now, only it has incredible filters. When you take a hot shower, you should know the hot water opens your pores and creates steam. That means chlorine, lead, and other contaminants in your tap water can hit your skin, hair, and the air you breathe inside your own bathroom. And unlike most shower filters on the market, this has independent third-party testing on ours. SGS testing showed a 95.47% lead reduction using over 99% chlorine removal. These filters offer up to 3 months of cleaner shower water at home. It installs directly into a standard shower head. You don't need to be a plumber. You don't need to have special tools. It's literally as easy as, you know, installing a light bulb. You just do it with your shower head, and it is a life-changing purchase. I'm telling you, folks. And it has the awesome little frog decal right in the middle to remind you of our little amphibious friends. Regularly, you can get these for $139 today. You can get it for $97.99. That is 30% off. VIP members get this as low as $69.99. VIP members are paying $70, less than $70 for this shower head. Easily sells at twice the price. Of course, if you sign up to be a VIP member, you immediately get $10 to spend on the store. So you're really getting discount after discount after discount, as in $10 on top of, you know, what you're already getting with the VIP benefit and the savings. Go to thealexjonesstore.com right now. Get the brand new shower head filter today. Go to thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison to let them know who sent you. But I cannot endorse this enough. I'm going to install one of these in my bathroom. These are brand new, so I don't have this exact model, but I have a very similar model at home that I cannot live without. You're going to end up like packing one of these if you travel for a long time. You're going to get so sick of the hotel shower heads being so pathetic. You're going to miss the like full body massage you get at home from one of these bad boys. You might end up packing it along, carrying it with you. Maybe we need to have a travel version as well for people that go. I'm telling you, folks, it's almost bad. It will ruin showers for you that you take outside of your house. Every shower you take inside your house is like a spa day. And you go travel somewhere and you're just like, you're just trying to get the shower done as quickly as possible because you're thinking about how great it is at home. Go today, thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison to let them know who sent you. All right. We got more to talk about. Let's go to clip number 13 here. This is having to do with the new Odyssey movie that's come out, where once again, they have taken a core foundational, you know, ultimately important piece of literature and serves as like the undergirding, the foundation of Western civilization. And they've decided to destroy it for the sake of progressivism. And this is yet another example of the fact that they don't want to make money. They know how to make money. You make money by making a good movie and casting good people in the right roles, by showing true love of the source material and appreciation for what made these things great in the first place, right? The Odyssey, the Iliad, these things became foundational text in Western civilization. And like you really can't overstate how important these texts are. And if you haven't read them, you probably don't understand that. Like the Iliad begins with this long discussion about like the right of kings and the right of, a subject over his superiors. Like these discussions were fundamental in shaping the mindset of everybody who attended any school at all for like five centuries. This is what they were taught in Europe. And they would like memorize this stuff by rote, huge passages of it. This is important. This is not just a myth. It's our history, and it's more real than real. You know, this is what we always say. You have to believe this stuff. I was having a conversation over 4th of July weekend about, George Washington cutting down the cherry tree, the classic example. And the people I was talking with were going, but did he really? And I'm like, no, yes, he really did. He really did. It's like he cut it down and then he admitted that he did it. And this is a virtue that we want to teach our children. So yeah, this happened. It absolutely happened. Did it actually happen? I don't know. I wasn't there, but yes, it absolutely happened. You have to believe that it happened. This is where, you know, the leftist progressive mindset goes too far, where it's like, you don't have to actually believe that George Washington cut down the cherry tree to understand the civilizational value in teaching that our heroes were good, selfless people who told the truth, even if it hurt them. This is an extremely, extremely valuable lesson to teach kids. And you do that through history. The Odyssey is very similar. People want to treat it as if it's just a myth, as if it's just a fantasy. It's more than true. It is. And actually, this guy explains it incredibly well. So I'll stop giving my own twist to it. By the way, I can see the crew pulling up all these pictures of Elliot Page. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to dead name him. The person playing Achilles. I saw somebody on X say, the two things you had to do with the Odyssey is make an Achilles that looked like he could beat me up and Helen of Troy that I would actually be attracted to. They failed on both counts. But this is not about necessarily the casting. It's about what the casting is a symptom of. Yeah, before and after. Before and after progressivism, before and after DEI, before and after the takeover. Put your shirt on, ma'am. It's disgusting. Let's go to clip number 13 here. Here's a guy, this is reposted by Elon Musk, but this gets to the heart of the controversy about the casting of The Odyssey. Let's watch.
The most disliked trailer of Christopher Nolan's career, in response to casting Lupita Nyong'o as Helen of Troy, is being explained to us as a mass outbreak of racism. 500,000 people clicked thumbs down on the Odyssey trailer, and the official reading from the press, from Hollywood, and from your local Starbucks barista is that all of them are simply bigots who need to be disregarded. Let me explain why the disapproval is the rational part of this story, and why the confidence of the people waving it away is not. The numbers are real, whatever you make of them. Early counts ran near 338,000 dislikes against 55,000 likes, and they have since climbed toward 450,000 dislikes, with Universal quietly locking replies on the premiere post. This is worth pausing on because it breaks so hard from Nolan's own history. The Oppenheimer trailer ran about 99% positive. Tenet, the film people still call his most confusing, sat near 98%. Audiences do not meet a Nolan trailer this way. The defense for casting Nyong'o as Helen of Troy is shallow. These are made-up stories, says the online commentator. They can be remade however we want. They'll argue that the Odyssey is mythology rather than history and ask why casting could possibly matter in a tale with a cyclops and sirens. Jimmy Kimmel even claimed Helen was mythical like Santa Claus, so the color of a myth cannot matter. Here is the trouble. The people making this argument believe that distinguishing myth from history is a display of intelligence. They think they have caught the rest of us in a category error. It is the reverse, a clean specimen of the Dunning-Kruger effect, the confidence of someone who has learned that a thing is invented without ever asking what the invention is for. A myth is not less true than history. It is more true, precisely because it is not weighed down by the accidents of a single life. Take Achilles. Was he a man whose burial site we could find and whose DNA we could test today? No. He is something far denser than a man. He is the overlapping virtue of every noble warrior across generations, gathered and fastened into one figure so that the sons who came after had something to emulate. History records one man once. Myth records what 1,000 men held in common. That is not a downgrade from fact, but a compression of the highest truth. And the author does not invent the values. He does not sit down, decide what his people will honor, and write it into a character. The values flow upward into the story from the people themselves. The myth is the self-portrait that a civilization paints of its own best self. This is why it is not merely a tale for entertainment. Homer's Odyssey is a time capsule for a culture, the encoded values and examples that tell a people what it means to belong to them. In this case, the first men and women of the West, whose philosophy and social order inform us still. So yes, Helen of Troy was never a woman with a birth certificate, but she is the distilled reflection of real women, a real people found worth going to war over. Change who she is, and you have edited the self-portrait. This is why the casting is not trivial, and why it is not hateful to say so. It is the equivalent of casting Sylvester Stallone as a legendary samurai. And before anyone reaches for Tom Cruise in The Last Samurai, recall that the entire plot was a man disassociating from his own heritage and assimilating into another. That is not the theme here. Here, we are asked to accept, at face value and with no explanation, that Nyong'o is a believable stand-in for the most beautiful Greek woman ever imagined. This is why films are generally terrible now, and the Greeks diagnosed it long before Hollywood existed. Mythos, story and narrative, must reflect logos, the rational order of how the world actually works. Stories that survive 3,000 years, like the Odyssey, survive because they encode real patterns in profound ways. You can draw generations of wisdom from a single one of them. That is why they resonate. Not because they entertain you, but because they tell you the truth about how the world works. Modern films fail because their writers have inverted the order. They build stories around how they wish the world should be, rather than how it is. Mythos severed from logos. And so, the stories crumble on contact. And no matter how many times some commentator types, it's just a made-up story. It will never talk a people into accepting a steady defacing of the myths their civilization was built upon.
Absolutely incredible work. I basically completely agree. The only place I would differ is to say that these are, in fact, real stories. I don't even think they're myths. I think they take on the character of myth over time, but like, you know that everybody in the world thought it was a myth, and then there's one crazy guy, one crazy archaeologist that thought, I'm going to go find Troy, and then he did. He found Troy. They found the city, the mythical city, that apparently was made up. No, it wasn't made up. It was a real city. It had real people in it. There was real evidence of a real siege that really destroyed the city. This is history. This is not myth. I mean, if anything, like he said, maybe, you know, you take 1,000 people and it gets, you know, progressed or compressed rather into a single person. This tends to happen with history, not with myth, but with history. If you read the early accounts of, you know, the settling of Rome, they give, you know, credit for everything to, you know, one or two guys. And it's like, well, there's probably more people involved, but then again, maybe not. Maybe it was just, you know, a single genius that laid out all of the, you know, religious rites that they had to follow. Why not? It could have been. But like, that's one thing. They found Troy. Troy was thought to be mythical for like 1,000 years. Then they found it incontrovertibly. Same thing like we've talked about before where, you know, you have the Bronze Age collapse. And you have these mysterious sea peoples. And if you read normal historians, they're like, nobody knows who the sea peoples were, where they came from, what it could have been. It's like, you mean this is at exactly the same time historically that the Odyssey is being written and the Aeneid is set. So you have all of these stories of seafarers following the collapse of Rome, collapse of Troy, rather. Some of them, you know, were Trojans that were fleeing the collapse of their city and going to found new colonies like the new city of Rome that Aeneas founded. You know, that's his journey of the Aeneid. He gets cursed by Dido, and of course you have the Odyssey with Odysseus traveling around all these places. So you're telling me that you think all of this is myth, despite the fact that history proves that at the end of the Bronze Age, there was a major collapse with all these quote-unquote sea peoples coming from somewhere, landing on the, you know, the coast all around the Mediterranean, sacking the place. Yeah, it was the Trojans. It was the Trojans fleeing the fall of Troy. Or the Greeks who'd spent 10 years attacking Troy, got their victory, and maybe wanted to go make the most of it. This is history. This isn't myth. This is actually history, and you actually have to believe it, because it's actually true. And so in that regard, it's even more absurd to cast a sub-Saharan black African as Helen of Troy. Helen of Troy was a Spartan woman. We know what the Spartans look like. We have their descriptions. We have their pottery showing their depiction. They were Northern European blonde people that came down and settled on Sparta. She was a blonde woman. She was a blonde white woman who was from Sparta. She was a real person. She at least, at the most mythological stretch you could take it, she was a representative of a real people. So you can't just, like he said, you know, it'd be like portraying Sylvester Stallone as a samurai. It's just wrong. It's just insulting. Now, that being said, if somebody in Nigeria wanted to make a version of the Odyssey where everyone looked like them, and it was placed not in Troy and Greece, but in Nigeria, then I'd say go for it. You know, cultural adaptions, I've got absolutely no problem with. Almost especially when it comes to myths or religion. These things are accessible by everybody. They do express a humanity that is not, you know, private to the European people. These are universal values that it expresses. I would have no problem whatsoever with Nigerians having Nigerian star in a Nigerian version of Odyssey. That would be great. That would be fine. When you have Americans claiming to adapt the Odyssey and they're making deliberately offensive casting decisions, that is not born from a love of the source material or a genuine attempt to make an artistic statement. It is simply anti-white diversity requirements, checkboxes so that he can win the awards that give meaning to his life. It's a pathetic sellout of history, and it is deeply offensive, but they don't care. So they don't like you, they don't care, and they certainly are not going to make any money. Is that me? Is that me as Achilles? I'm more of an Odysseus type, to be honest with you. I'm more of an Odysseus type, personally. I'm kind of a, I don't know, that'd actually be pretty good. Who would we cast? Because I could totally see Alex as Menelaus. I think Alex Jones would have to be Menelaus or Agamemnon. I guess he'd be Agamemnon. I get him a little bit confused. But I could be Odysseus. I'd be down with that. He was the strategist. Not old enough to be Nestor, but I'd like to be him too. A diverse Odyssey is the triumph of Western civilization. We should want a canon, and that means an exclusive canon. Inclusive canon. Do you know what the word canon means, you idiot? It means you exclude certain things. It means some things are included and some things aren't. The canon, like the Bible, some books are canon, some aren't. Those books that aren't canon are excluded from the canon. You cannot have a canon that is exclusive, inclusive. Canon, the word, the definition of the word contains within it the exclusion of non-canon materials. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Again, this isn't just a casting decision because she was the best actress available and she just so happens to be black. This is a deliberate casting choice to cause the outrage that they think they can turn into success at the box office, despite the fact that this has never, ever, 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 ever worked. And every single time they try this, they lose billions of dollars. Why do they keep doing it? Why do they keep trying it? Why do they keep trying to shove this down our throats when, in, you know, the contrary, you've got things like Young Washington premiering over the weekend, like one-tenth the budget of Supergirl, and yet it beat Supergirl at the box office by something like 2 times. The American people want actual historical epics. We want things that we can leave behind the interminable stupidity of the modern world, the endless bigotry and retardation of our modern diversified politics. We want to leave that behind and enjoy a fantasy or enjoy an epic of history that is compelling and self-contained and doesn't take us out of it. They didn't make, you know, George Washington a young black man because that would be absurd. That would be ridiculous, right? Wouldn't that be absurd and ridiculous? It's just as absurd and ridiculous as casting Lupita Nyong'o or whatever her name is as Helen of Troy. So again, just like, they want to be offended that we are offended. No, they're the ones who are deliberately destroying our myths that are the foundation of our culture and civilization. They're the bad ones. They're the ones that are attacking us. Defending ourselves is not racist. It's self-preservation. We'll be right back.
We're extending America's 250th mega sale, the biggest in the history of the AllShowStore.com. That means this Monday the 6th and Tuesday the 7th at midnight central, the biggest sales ever. Buy one, get one free. Up to 60% off the best-selling supplements, Patriot Apparel, 50% off, and more. Take action now at the AllShowStore.com. No republic, no empire, no nation has ever survived more than 250 years.
but America has to survive. The idea of America, private property, the right to lead your own life, to follow your own religion or not, so many things that this country enshrined that no other nation had became the model of the world. That's why the left, why BlackRock, why the globalists, why the WEF, why the UN openly want to discredit it. The elites don't like the idea of America because it allows the little people to have meritocracy and develop their own wealth and their own independence. The globalists want neo-feudalism. They want serfdom. They want a great reset to control us. So they've been trying to undermine this country, demonize this country, and blame all the problems in the world on the freedom of America and the West and Christianity and white people. But it's not working. The world is awakening to the Great Reset, and we are in the Great Awakening. That's why it's so important on our 250th anniversary that we remember what made America great and that we continue those values on in the face of tyranny. Because the ideas we're promoting work and are pro-human, are dynamic, and unleash the incredible competition of the human spirit and meritocracy. If we don't stand up for not just 1776 here in the U.S., but worldwide, then we allow the globalists, the megabanks, with their transhumanist, death cult, depopulation agenda to come in and sell their lie of collectivism, universal basic incomes, cashless society, control grids, the social credit scores, and the entire system of dehumanization that they're establishing. We are literally facing freedom or slavery. It's a choice we must take. So to celebrate this 250th anniversary, we have the biggest sale in the history of the AlexJonesStore.com. 50% off on all of the incredible Patriot apparel. The widest selection, some of the best designs in the world. What an adventure to wear this apparel and meet like-minded people and spread the word. And then most importantly, the very best game-changing five-star supplements on the planet. Up to 60% off, and all the best sellers are buy one, get one free. This Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, it's a flash sale. Ultramethylene Blue, the best on the market, buy one, get one free. Bovine Colostrum, the best, highest rate on the market, buy one, get one free. Shilajit Complex, that has all these natural peptides and boost your testosterone and more, buy one, get one free. As I said, up to 60% off on all the other supplements. The lowest is 40, the highest is 60. These are insanely good. All you've got to do is try them. We have over a 90% reorder rate at thealexjonesstore.com. And anyone who's shopping on the site should be a VIP. Cancel anytime. It's $30 a month. Instantly when you're charged, $40 is put in your account to spend on the site. You make $10, special deals, special offers, and sales on top of the sales, making a bunch of stuff lost leaders if you're a VIP. So become a VIP, commit to the American Republic in the year 2026, help keep the broadcast on the air so we can expand the Alex Jones Network. It's a win-win. So to celebrate America and to stand against the globalist death cult, please support your own future and my future, our collective future together, by individual action at thealexjonesstore.com. Happy birthday, America. I salute all of our founders, our veterans, and all the patriots out there. God bless you all. We're extending the biggest sale in the history of thealexjonesstore.com. Take action now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Welcome back, folks. Quickly, we'll talk about the problems of immigration. You know, this is actually kind of funny. I remember all the way back in like 2015 or so, when Bernie Sanders first started to get a lot of traction, you know, some of the ideas that he was putting forward weren't half bad. I agreed with his, you know, the way that he saw things in certain regards. For example, he used to talk about how welfare was used by corporations to undercut the wages of their workers, that Walmart could afford to pay people less than a living wage because they basically had their wages supplemented by the U.S. government. And Walmart would actually show you how to apply for those benefits. So, you know, they would hire somebody, they'd be able to pay them $7 an hour, knowing that the United States government is coming in and, you know, backfilling that pay to make that wage actually, you know, possible to be offered. He used to say stuff like that. Not so much anymore. Similarly, the concept of illegal immigration undercutting wages nationally is something that should be discussed in the socialist side of things, if they were actually consistent in their beliefs or had any interest in actually benefiting the nation that they're a part of, then they would see that the average worker, the underclass, the people they claim to represent, are being destroyed by illegal immigration. They don't seem to care. They seem to have a value that's beyond that. And this, I think, is one of like the most important things to be laying out right now. Basically, I see everywhere, like everybody I talk to, everybody gets that everything is messed up and being destroyed pretty much on purpose, that our leadership doesn't actually represent us. Like everybody's understanding that things are not as they seem and that changes are necessary. And yet so many people, like I was talking to somebody over the weekend, and he has a lot of connections to people in AI at Anthropic and OpenAI and all this stuff. And he's like, yeah, we're all against what's happening with AI. He's like, everybody at these AI companies, they hate how AI is being used. And so we're talking about like, well, how is it being used and who's controlling it and what's happening? And he's like, yeah, you know, it's the haves versus the have nots. It's a class thing. And it's like, no. No, it's not. It's not a class thing, actually. It's not a class thing. It's all classes. It's across classes. It's a nationalistic thing. We need more data centers. AI needs it. Look, whether it's AI data centers or, you know, flock cameras, it's like they aren't doing what they say they're doing. They must be doing something else. But the point is that the socialist, communist, class warfare mindset is being insinuated into the, you know, talking points in the regular conversations that like younger people are having. And it's like, how do we get through the fact that like this is not a class issue? It is a nationality issue. It is a like moral issue. Like, what do you actually value? You know, I guess my question would be, show me the class collision, the clash of classes when it comes to Indians hiring Indians. Is that an upper class versus lower class sort of thing? Not really. Kind of has nothing to do with that. It's the middle class that's being hollowed out. This is not like, you know, the Indian elite oppressing the Indian poor. This is the Indian elite giving jobs to the Indian poor so they can come over here and take your jobs. Show me where the class divide is in any of this. It doesn't exist. And it's frustrating because it's a compelling argument, because the people doing this are mostly at the top of our society, but they weaponize and utilize the poorest of our society by, you know, keeping them dependent, keeping them in a state of disrepair, I guess you could say. Keeping the ghettos ghetto in this country is valuable to them. Socialism always increases inequality. It has never not done that. So if you actually believe that this is the problem, that it's a class divide, then why would you be promoting the one political structure that more or less guarantees, solidifies, and makes permanent that class division? This is a problem. So in talking about communism and socialism, this is a very interesting excerpt from Karl Marx, 1870. Ireland consistently sends her own surplus population to the English labor market and thus forces down wages and lowers the material and moral position of the English working class. Well, that's kind of interesting, isn't it? Again, what is your actual, you know, value? What do you actually pushing for? What would be the argument for why you should bring in international scab labor to undercut the wages of the average American worker? the only thing that could compel you to do that is because you care about non-American people more than American people, that you want to exploit the American people for the benefit of non-American people. This has nothing to do with class. This has to do with race and nationality. That's what's at the heart of this. It has nothing to do with class. The people at the top and the people at the bottom are working hand in hand to destroy the middle class and eradicate the ability of the average person to, you know, have an effect politically. And I saw somebody, you know, comment on that online saying basically the middle class was a fluke that the American power structure needed to fight communism. And now that communism no longer has the Soviet Union backing it up, it's no longer a major threat. The middle class no longer serves its purpose. So it's being destroyed. There is something to that. I do believe that's what's happening. But the question is, how do you get the middle class back? And it's certainly by not taxing everybody into oblivion and destroying job creators. And then you have all of the additional problems that come along with immigration. We'll get to those in just a second. But just in terms of the completely selling out of our birthright across the board, it's national suicide that offshoring hasn't been addressed yet. Our biggest tech companies are being hollowed out by Indian CEOs moving American jobs to India. It's an order of magnitude worse than the hollowing out of our manufacturing base, which destroyed small town America, and it's happening right before our eyes. And he posted, this is from ANC Aesthetics at ANC underscore aesthetics, responding to Unusual Whales post saying Microsoft cuts 4,800 jobs while simultaneously applying for thousands and thousands of H-1B visas. So again, you can see the American versus international with American employees in blue and international employees in red. And you can see that in 2022, they had massive layoffs of their American workforce while simultaneously hiring an equivalent amount of Indians to do it. Where's the class struggle in this? Can you show me? Can a communist illustrate to me how, you know, the upper class versus the lower class leads to Microsoft axing nearly 5,000 jobs while simultaneously paying for those jobs in India because they can pay significantly less? You know, one thing I think people think we're exaggerating when we talk about India. Maybe we need to show some stuff. Like, it's crazy. India is a crazy place. I don't understand how it functions. Like, I was watching a documentary about Mumbai. It's called Mumbai, the Infernal Megalopolis. That was the name of the documentary. Mumbai, the Infernal Megalopolis. Some stats from this documentary. Do you know that on average, 7 people a day die on trains in Mumbai alone? 7 people every single day die from it has 4 train lines. Mumbai has 4 train lines that kill an average of 7 people a day. When somebody dies by being pushed in front of a, you know, subway by a diverse young man in New York, it's national news. The whole city stops, like it's like crazy. What if 7 times a day it was like, well, another person died from being run over by a train. Another person died from being run over by a train. Oh, 4 people this time died. They fell off the train. Like 7 people a day dying in India. The slums in India, I swear I thought I misheard this. I'm pretty sure, guys, look up the stats for the central slum in Europe. In Mumbai, it's called like Devarti, the Devarti slum. It's where Slumdog Millionaire was filmed. It's like the classic image of a Mumbai slum. If I'm not mistaken, 1 million people live in a square mile. Like it seems, I was like, this cannot be true. How do you have 1 million people in a square mile? That's nonsense. That's crazy. And the slums that just go on for miles and miles. I mean, it is insanity. And you see the conditions in which these people live. It is, I mean, deplorable doesn't even cut it. And half the time, the jobs they're working, yeah, Darvi, 1 square mile, 1 million residents. 1 million residents in 1 square mile in India. The thing I'm pointing out is if you offer somebody from Mumbai a closet to sleep in. It is a palace compared to where they come from. Where they come from is the most disgusting, trash-ridden, polluted. I mean, half the people's jobs are just like melting down plastic in their living room. And there's just like toxic fumes and just plastic particles absolutely everywhere. And right next door, they're like curing leather with urine. And it's just like horrifying. It's horrifying. The conditions of life there. I feel bad for them. I don't celebrate. I'm not like, haha, those suckers, they have to live in trash. It's horrible. I feel for them. I don't want America to become this place. This is our trajectory at this point. And my God, you look at, it's just, the point is, why do you think they're giving away our jobs to these people? Because these people are living in absolute, utter, desperate poverty. And they can be paid pennies and do essentially equivalent work as an American. Of course, the quality goes down a little bit. You have to admit, everything gets a little bit worse. And, you know, over time, that is going to render American cities as despicable as Mumbai, where, again, just like trash, human waste, filth, it is a disgusting place. Truly. Again, I don't revel in this. I don't celebrate this. I'm incredibly glad I don't live there. And to be honest, I'm kind of inspired. Like, if you watch this documentary about Mumbai, I mean, it takes a lot to be like an entrepreneur there, to like be like, we're going to make it out of here. It's like, really? It's going to be hard, but like they got the entrepreneurial spirit. I don't second guess them. I just don't want to give our birthright away to them. I don't want to be subject to their international cabal's manipulation of economic markets to undercut American wages and give it away to people that live in slums in India and would be beside themselves to receive just a fraction of what Americans receive. See, we built a civilization that provides for our people to an astounding degree. That's going to go away. So again, I ask, where's the class divide? Where's the communistic reading of this situation? Is it the elite selling out our jobs? I guess so, because that's going to be the one who does it. But is that a decision made on the basis of hating the poor, or is it made on the basis of rewarding their co-ethnic poor and disadvantaging American poor? Like, this has nothing to do with poor versus rich. This has to do with Americans versus Indians. So where's the class divide is what I want to ask. So if that's the answer, if that's the one size fits all, that's the easy talking point to just spout out to look like you understand politics, tell me why the dirt poor, you know, Indians are receiving all of the benefits from their co-ethnics. Because it's not about class, it's about race and nationality, obviously. Tata Consultancy CEO Krithra Krithivanasan brought in 6,500 L1 managers to America from India. Bloomberg says there weren't managers at all, just cheap labor with fake titles used to bypass H-1B rules and fees. Again, show me the communistic reading of this. How do you understand this without understanding nationality and race loyalty? This has nothing to do with class divide. If you're all concerned about class divide, you do understand Indians' entire civilization is built upon a religion that dictates their caste system. You understand that, right? Fugitive Caesar on X says it's just completely unacceptable to graduate 4.7 million college students per year and create just 181,000 jobs. We have 25 college students competing for every new job. That's before factoring in legal, illegal mass migration and people who lost their jobs during COVID. This is a crisis. So U.S. secondary institutions confer approximately 4.7 million degrees annually. This includes roughly 2.1 million bachelor's degrees, 1.0 million associate's degrees, 860,000 master's degrees, and 200,000 doctorates or professional degrees. And, you know, soon a million of those will go directly to Chinese students because that's what the deal we had to make to sell TikTok to Israel. This country of 450 million people, 100 million illegals, and in 2025, America only created around 15,000 jobs per month. Economic stagnation is a disaster. The reality is that massive white-collar offshoring to India remains ongoing, and the Trump administration is ignoring it. And of course, you have this. After COVID, whites were openly discriminated against in hiring. The overall job growth included 20,524 white workers. The other 300,000 jobs, 94% of the headcount increase, went to people of color. So again, you explain this to me without using race. Explain to me how this is driven by a class divide, how the rich are just keeping down the poor. No, this is a racial thing. This is discrimination against white people on the basis of them being white people. So how do you contend with that if your entire belief system is socialistic, communistic, and the only thing you understand is the class divide? It's insufficient to explain anything actually going on here. It is an easy band-aid talking point that is utterly and completely invalid. As John Birch Society notes, if you're a white man under 40, you have been discriminated against your entire life. And then we have all of the, you know, the other problems that come along with it. But here continuing again, Fugitive Caesar at Tom with a H Brady 5. America is absorbing the youth unemployment of foreign countries like India, China, and Mexico. By doing so, we're creating a youth unemployment crisis for ourselves. America is graduating 25 college graduates for every new job, which risks a taping rebellion civil war. America functions as a huge pressure valve for Mexican discontent. Imagine the impact of 10 million military-age males returning suddenly to Mexico with zero available jobs and kidnapping, extortion, and terrorization from drug cartels. I would expect a rebellion or a civil war. These are extremely concerning numbers. Boomers are whistling past the graveyard if they think they can just dump a lifetime of debt, slavery, and unemployment, underemployment on young Americans and expect society to remain stable from this kind of collective rug pull. So again, you tell me what the socialist interpretation of this is. Because as, you know, as it was a joke I said a while ago that got a lot of attention where I said, if only we could have the, you know, the concern for the average person of socialism combined with the might and strength of nationalism, wouldn't that be something? But seriously, but how do you believe in socialism or capitalism without understanding the nationalistic confines that it has to operate in? How can you have socialism without extremely rigid borders? The whole concept is, you know, the wealth of the nation should serve the people of the nation. How is that being served when people of other nations are exploiting our system to a huge degree and siphoning away immense amount of wealth that would otherwise be used to help the poor here in America and help ourselves? This is a retarded viewpoint. Communism, socialism on an international scale is impossible. It's a trick. It doesn't pass muster in even just the most like brief glance. It's just obviously stupid. It only makes sense if you even want socialism. How do you not understand that nationalism has to go along with it? That just seems obvious to me, but I'm not educated. You know, I'm just one of these uneducated chuds. I don't have the sophisticated communist knowledge to understand how Indians hiring Indians and replacing Americans is somehow, you know, a class warfare and an element of class warfare. The only way it makes sense is understanding that the elite in America are not loyal to America and so are allowing our poor to be abused by the system of socialism that is bankrupting us and offshoring all of our potential. Oh, and also the people coming over have horrible diseases and no tradition of indoor plumbing, so that's going to create a bunch of problems too. Our water treatment plants aren't prepared for third world parasites and Americans are paying for it. So This follows the story we covered yesterday, Cyclospesorius outbreak. I'm sure I'm pronouncing that wrong. But this is the disease that's leading to the weeks-long diarrhea that we reported on yesterday. Wisconsin is seeing a handful of cyclosporiasis cases, part of an outbreak across the United States. It's especially impacting Michigan. No specific grower or supplier has been identified, but there are known fruits and vegetables that have linked have been linked to the parasite in previous outbreaks. You can reduce your risk by cooking produce when you can and washing all fresh produce under running clean water, even if you have to peel it. So obviously this would be a consequence of having a bunch of third worlders picking our crops and pooping on them while they're picking them. So that's disgusting. And that could be it. But they haven't traced it back to fruits or vegetables because it may very well be in the water system that the outbreak is being spread. And that's because no standard water treatment plants in America do not reliably or fully remove this bacteria, the infectious form of the parasite, Cyclospora chiantinensis, oocyst. Chlorine resistance. It's highly resistant to routine chemical disinfection methods like chlorination, the primary disinfectant in many municipal systems. Standard chlorine levels used in drinking water treatment do not effectively kill or even inactivate them. Physical removal challenges. Conventional filtration, i.e. sand or media filters, can reduce oocysts, but not 100% effective, especially if the system is not optimized for these exact parasites. So, like, we have not had to deal with these diseases in the past. It's not been a problem that our water filtration system doesn't filter it because it didn't exist here. It had been eradicated through basic hygiene. Now we're importing millions upon millions of people who are pooping in the water and infecting us with something that our water filtration systems are not capable of removing. This, again, would be another big issue, and I wait to see the communists explain how this is actually somebody being greedy or something. I mean, it is. It isn't being greedy. Like, this is the thing. It's just like the stuff with the anti-Israel people. It's like they get it to the first step. They always understand the first, most childish, preschool level understanding of things, and they can never progress past that. If you go, well, this is happening because people are greedy, now reason that out. Now explain what that means. You mean that the people in charge of corporations are undercutting American wages by bringing in foreign scab workers, playing on the boogeyman of white supremacy to discredit any opposition to this by calling it racist, so they're using the socialist communist equality drive to, in fact, drive down wages, benefit themselves, and they're doing it all for profit. So do you understand that, or did you get to they're greedy and that's as far as you're willing or capable of taking it? When you look at Israel and you go, oh, they're bad, they're committing genocide, is that where you stop and you're just like, they're white, they look white? Or do you keep investigating it, look farther into it, and say, is this really as simple as I'm making it, or is it actually just a little bit more complicated? And once you do that, can you actually come up with a solution, or are you just feeding into the problem?
We're extending America's 250th mega sale, the biggest in the history of the AllShowStore.com. That means this Monday the 6th and Tuesday the 7th at midnight central, the biggest sales ever. Buy one, get one free. Up to 60% off the best-selling supplements, Patriot apparel, 50% off, and more. Take action now at the AllShowStore.com. Have you noticed all the big universities and corporate media and governments around the world run down America all day? That's because the American system stands against their globalist system. And as the public figures that out, their corrupt, tyrannical, oppressive, communistic, anti-human death cult can't compete with what America stands for. And we stand in the shoes, on the shoulders of our forebears. Whether you're black, white, Hispanic, old, young, if you love liberty and freedom, and if you want to be free, and if you want to control your own destiny, you believe in meritocracy, then America is for you. It's under attack because the idea of it stands in the way of the enemy. And America is a dream. Just like a dream to get married, or a dream to start a business, or a dream to write a poem or write a song. And when you do that, those dreams come true. But we have to breathe life into those dreams. They want to kill those dreams. Don't let them break your will. be proud to be an American and know people around the world still love America and understand it's the globalists that have hijacked us, and we're in the process of taking our country back from the Chi-Coms and the Israel lobby and the globalists and Hollywood and the left and all of them. And that's why it's so important to support the next leg in the info war at AlexJonesLive.com. And, of course, at the AlexJonesStore.com with the widest selection of Patriot apparel, the best supplements, collectible knives, the best water filtration, and more that will empower and enrich your life while keeping this beacon of truth on the air as we accelerate into the future and as the Great Awakening prepares the final defeats of the globalists and their Great Reset. I salute you all. This is 1776 2.0. We're unstoppable together. God bless you all. Take action now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Welcome back, folks. Third hour is on. This is War Room Live. I'm just seeing reports 22 minutes ago from Megatron on X. Massive explosions across Iran. U.S. has started attacking again. Of course, we know the war in the Middle East is nowhere close to over because Israel hasn't gotten what it wants yet. So the idea of this ceasefire becoming a real tangible peace deal was always a bit of a wish, not actually happening. Netanyahu announces Turkey next military target as they certainly continue to expand this war against our NATO ally, Turkey. We'll have to get into that in just a second, but I do want to talk a little bit about surveillance first. We're going to go to clip number 15 here. Flock cameras continue to be a major point of contention, which, once again, it's nice having, like, foundational American values where it's like, just anything that comes up, you just put it to, like, the Constitution, and you just go, oh, flock cameras, permanent surveillance grid, without a warrant, spying on you constantly? The answer is no. It's pretty simple. See, I get confused when it comes to leftists who, they love censoring people until they get censored. Then they are suddenly all for free speech. They love surveilling people until it's them being surveilled, and suddenly they demand privacy. Like Klaus Schwab apparently just filed a complaint in Geneva because he found a listening device in his house. And it's like, What happened to you don't need privacy? What happened to you'll have no privacy and you'll be happy? What happened to that, fella? Like, I don't get it. I don't get the, you know, decision when to apply concern and when not to, when you actually care about free speech and when you don't. See, when you're actually principled and you actually just like free speech, like the truth, dislike surveillance, it's very easy to just understand what stance to take immediately. It's got to be confusing for leftists who are completely in favor of censorship to suddenly, like, have to be making the argument that they shouldn't be censored. Where are the fundamental values that you adhere to? You don't have any, which is why you're easily manipulatable. Let's go now to this video. Somebody who took down flock cameras now facing 18 years in prison. Let's watch.
Case in Rio Rancho where license plate reader cameras were destroyed, then replaced with a flag. Police say the man behind the crime cost the city thousands in damages. News 13's Bianca Hoops has that video.
A series of vandalized cameras have Rio Rancho police questioning who did it.
Yeah. So that's what our ALPRs were, the license plate reader. Someone stole the reader and replaced it with this flag. We had the same thing happen yesterday off of Metalwork.
When did they do that?
I have no idea.
In May, Rio Rancho police found at least three flock cameras, also known as license plate readers, destroyed. The solar panels attached to them were stolen. Then a flag was hung on top of the camera poles.
Is there a reason why they're doing this? Do you guys have an idea?
I think it's somebody who doesn't like license plate readers.
Within days of the investigation, police pull over a truck that matched the description of the car tied to the flock camera incidents. In the car, they find multiple flags that were similar to the ones in the vandalized cases. The driver, 44-year-old Javon Martinez, was arrested for an unrelated warrant and has since then been released. Police say Martinez admitted to the vandalism when they asked about the flags, and he even took videos on his phone every time.
Oh, look at my work, gentlemen. So all these cameras popping around, the flock cameras, they are not ours. Look at that.
Then, within a week, Rio Rancho police got a warrant to look out for some of the missing equipment at Martinez's home, even bringing in a SWAT team because of his criminal history, including assault.
Because I'm missing three solar panels and one flock panel.
Like I said, I threw him in the trash or put him on the side.
He's a patriot. He's a patriot. He's doing God's work. He deserves to be free. We'll be right back with more.
The globalists are collapsing worldwide, but they're fighting back with tyranny, censorship, and more. And they have targeted my operation more than anybody else's. But that's okay. That means we're over the target. It means we're effective. And I couldn't have done any of this without you. All the success of my operation to the listeners, the viewers, your word of mouth, your support, and, of course, the great crew. And that's why I want to just thank you all as America approaches its 250th anniversary. We have to understand they're trying to demoralize us, trying to break our will. We can't let them do that. It's the globalists that are losing. We're actually winning. So, to celebrate America's 250th anniversary, we're launching the biggest sale in the history of thealexchannelstore.com. Buy one, get one free, ultramethylene blue. Buy one, get one free, bovine colostrum. Buy one, get one free, Shilajit complex. So incredible. And up to 60% off on all the other supplements, 50% off on all the Patriot apparel, limited edition, 250th anniversary, and more. So take action now at thealexchannelstore.com and be the reason we stay on the air and celebrate our American Republic, the globalist hate.
Who took the bomb? Alright, welcome back, folks. Third hour is on War Room Live. I'm going to open up the phone for your calls this hour. The number to dial is 512-266-0642. That's 512-266-0642. We are live on this Tuesday, the 7th of July, 2026. And if you're watching me live, give me a call, 512-266-0642, and we're taking your calls now. Now, interestingly, the controversy about flock cameras is going both ways. So we just saw a video of a guy cutting down flock cameras and their solar panels and getting arrested for it. Apparently facing 18 years in prison for destroying this, which is entirely unacceptable. I mean, talk about cruel and unusual punishment. But they want to send a message. They want to teach a lesson. They don't want you destroying these flock cameras because they have important things they want to do with them, like enslave you forever. So we can't have you fighting back against it. Now I'll say, if you're destroying flock cameras, the thing you should probably realize is that flock cameras are surveillance nodes, and you need to probably do a lot to cover your identity if you're going up and destroying them, which I would never encourage, but do morally support. Yeah, I think that works. Five Georgia officers fired, arrested for misusing access to city's flock cameras, GBI says. So this just broke about 11 a.m. today. Five Georgia police officers have been fired and are facing charges after authorities say they misused their access to the city's flock safety system. In a release posted on Facebook, the Albany Police Department said the actions were taken after an internal audit of the license plate reader camera systems led to the discovery of serious policy violations by the officers. License plate reader systems are designed to support legitimate public safety operations, including identifying vehicles, et cetera, et cetera. According to the GBI, the internal audit revealed the officers accessed the systems on multiple occasions using the license plate data for non-law enforcement purposes. The agency did not share specifics about what the data was allegedly used for. After the audit, the police department said it fired the five officers and contacted the GBI, which arrested and charged them with misuse of license plate data in violation of their oath of office on Monday. They've been identified as 27-year-old Titiana Davis, 32-year-old Jade Jackson, 30-year-old Nicholas Richardson, 23-year-old Brittany Smith, and 24-year-old Isaac Whitus. Well, no comment on that. how do you stop them misusing it? You can't. It's available to them at any point. See, typically you would have to go get a warrant to do surveillance on people, but the flock cameras circumvent that somehow. They just do. They just provide the access to the officers and don't worry about a warrant. So there you go. I have the feeling that this is going to run into, like, this is going to be a Supreme Court case pretty soon. Because if an officer doesn't get a warrant, if they just decide to break into your house and find something, you can have that thrown out in court. You can say, you know, or if they don't read your Miranda rights, you can get your confession thrown out. Like, there are these laws in place for a reason. So it's just going to be a matter of time before somebody gets busted on flock and challenges the very existence, let alone the applicability or, you know, ability to use as evidence in a courtroom things that were gathered without a warrant in violation of the Fourth Amendment. It's just a matter of time. And I think flock is going to lose this. So they're just trying to get it done quickly and just make it, you know, something that everybody just assumes has been vetted, assumes has legal standing when in fact it doesn't. But we should all be concerned about the access that these untrustworthy police have to this type of technology. But it's absolutely everywhere. And again, this is the problem with people not understanding fundamentally the value of the Bill of Rights and our Constitution and the protection that it provides us, theoretically, if it's applied correctly. In 2027, your car will spy on you and hackers can take full control. Starting in 2027, every new car sold in America is required by federal law to have always-on cameras staring at your face. There's no way to turn it off, no opt-out, tamper-resistant. These cameras watch your eyes, head, and every move 24/7. The car can judge if you're impaired and stop you from driving. Here's the nightmare. Hackers can steal your data and remotely hijack your car. Imagine somebody taking control of your wheel while your family's inside, all your private moments recorded, your location, your biometrics, everything. They're turning your personal vehicle into a rolling surveillance device you can't escape, and they're handing hackers the keys. This isn't safety, it's dystopia. Wake up before it's too late. Too late. We've got to stop this stuff before it gets implemented. Meanwhile, court filing reveals Windows device ID helped FBI trace alleged scattered spider hacker. U.S. prosecutors linked an alleged scattered spider hacker to a break-in at a luxury jewelry retailer using a persistent Windows device ID, according to newly unsealed federal complaint. Microsoft records tied that ID first to the account of the attackers used to keep access during the May 2025 intrusion, then online accounts prosecutors say belong to 19-year-old Peter Stokes. Stokes is charged with conspiracy, computer intrusion, and fraud. A dual U.S.-Estonian citizen known online as Bouquet. He was extradited from Finland and made his first court appearance in Chicago on June 30th. But basically, they could not track him through his IP. They couldn't track him through his, you know, Google Voice or Amazon accounts. But eventually, they did help track him down with this Microsoft Google device identifier, which Microsoft describes as a persistent identifier tied to a single Windows installation, one that survives operating system updates but changes when Windows is reinstalled. They showed the device visited the Ngrok signup page at 1921 UTC on May 12, 2025, the same minute the Ngrok account was used, and reached the retailer's website through the same proxy about 3 hours later. So essentially, again, this is one of the first times that this method of identification has been used to punish a crime, and essentially reveals that the ability for the authorities to use your device to identify you is largely unbeatable, and you have to take extraordinary measures to get around it. But just so you know, whether it's your car or your cell phone or your computer, you are being tracked continuously, your TV and anything else that they can put a microphone or a camera system on is going to be used to spy on you. And the only way to undo this is to use the power of the government to stop corporations from complying to illegal requests from law enforcement. But without the government involved in this, it's the corporations run amok. Now we are going to go out to your calls, 512-266-0642. We'll go first to Emmett in Seattle. Wants to talk about the cultural vandalism we're being subjected to. Go ahead, Emmett, you're on the air.
Afternoon, Harrison.
Hello.
You hear me?
I hear you. Go ahead.
Afternoon, Harrison. I've been vibing with your waxing poetic on the Iliad and the Odyssey and this atrocious treatment that it's been given. And it reminded me of that scene in, or not scene, but there's several scenes in V for Vendetta where V's little hideout is just completely decked out with all these classic pieces of artwork and bookshelf upon bookshelf of just beautiful literature. And that kind of inspired me when I started catching wind of the way that they were trying to Google was digitizing, every library they could get their hands on in an attempt to, as these books go out of print and then they just have the only digital copy and then they're free to delete that from existence at will.
And they do that. This is a weird thing. I know Anthropic is doing it too. They're buying up like libraries worth of books, scanning them digitally, and then they destroy the books, which I don't understand how that would be necessary. They're basically just like, yeah, we just don't have room to store the books. So once we scan them, we burn them. And it's like, that seems incredibly dangerous. So yeah, they're obviously doing that. I'd forgotten about that scene from V from Vendetta. What it makes me think of is like, Brave New World, how the masters of the world, whatever they call them, the world controllers, they have access to Shakespeare and the Odyssey, and they have access to all of this, to them, ancient antique material, but it's kept away from all the people. Yeah, it's an interesting, that's an interesting, line to draw, Emmett. I hadn't thought about that.
But I just want to, encourage the audience, because as I started getting into this habit, I started stopping by estate sales, and
oh, yeah.
I always find myself drifting over toward the book stack from these boomers that are passing away. And it's like, man, every single time I find at least three or four books that are 100 years old or older.
Yeah.
And I also buy a copy of every single title that Jay Dyer mentions either on his channel or when he comes on the Fourth Hour. And I just keep running out of space on my bookshelves. But as a bit of investment advice to the audience, every once in a while I run into a book that's out of print and can't be just bought on Amazon anymore. Or if it is listed on Amazon, it's $300, $500.
Oh, yeah.
The most expensive one I've seen is $1,300, The Devil's Chemists. That's one that Alex recommended, and it's holy smokes. And if I get the chance to walk into one of these estate sales and pay 50 cents or, $2 for this old dusty book that nobody gives a damn about, I can turn that into a $300, come up out of just a casual Sunday afternoon strolling through an old house. And so I'd really like to encourage the audience to take up that habit just for their own, not only for the preservation of the culture, but also for their own financial, well-being or whatever. We all are about gold and silver, but we got to get those books.
That's such a good idea. And I haven't done it, purposefully like that, but absolutely. I've been to some estate sales. I got a brand new wrapped in the plastic version of The Rise and Fall of the Roman Empire. And yeah, it would cost me thousands of dollars online. I'm pretty sure I got it for less than a dollar. So you go to estate sales, people have no idea the value of the books that they're selling, and you can seriously clean up. That is absolutely true.
Can I make a request really quick?
Yeah.
This new water filter you guys are selling, it looks absolutely amazing, but I can't find the replacement filter cartridges on the store.
Hmm.
And so, just a tip for Bigly, people are going to want those replacement cartridges right now. And some of people are preppers like me and want to get a few sets of those replacement filters on the shelf ready to go. So that'd be a product recommendation or a request that I would try to get them to jump on as quick as possible. And for the new shower head too, I imagine that takes a cartridge inside. All filters plug up. But hopefully the replacement cartridge filters are for the shower head and for the drinking water filter are come on the store soon so I can get a bunch of them.
Yeah, you should be able to. I'm not sure where we'd sell those, but yeah, absolutely. That's a good point. I'm I'm not sure where you get replacement filters. I do know with the water filters, like, we've had our water filter for, like, years, and the filters are still, you know, totally good. I mean, some of these things can go through, because I was doing the math one time, and I was like, when do I have to replace this? And it was like, I don't remember the exact numbers, but it was something like 80,000 gallons, and I was, like, doing the math, and I was like, I'm not going to have to replace this for 5 or 10 years. Like, some of the filters are really good. I know the shower filter says to replace every 3 months. I do about every 6 months, but certainly you get the filters and, you know, have them for months, if not years, before you need a replacement. So don't let that be a reason not to buy this stuff, but that is a good point. And I'm sure there's a way. I'll just have to find out. I'll have to get with the Bigley guys and find out where to get the replacements. But certainly the water filter and the incredible massive shower filter do have filters that can be replaced, and you can get the replacements. I'm sure you can get them from us. I'm just not sure exactly where. But go to thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison to make your purchase, and you can at least have a couple of months to find the replacement filters wherever you need them. And I'm sure we'll have them available soon if we don't already. Thank you so much for the call, Emmett. Really appreciate that. Great points. Let's go now to Sean in California. Let's talk about flock cameras and how one might disable them in a theoretical context. Go ahead, Sean. You're on the air.
Hey, Harrison. I've noticed that some of these cameras, I haven't seen if it's been tried with flock cameras yet, but a lot of cameras, if you are wearing like a headlamp, amazingly, the glare off of a headlamp or a headlight, you know, like miner's caps or just little, you know, things you wear when you're bicycling, have a knack for, countering facial recognition. I'm not saying that you should be doing that, because there are bad people who listen to this advice as well as good. But my bigger thought, Harrison, on disabling these is disabling the people who vote them in to be put into the city in the first place. A lot of times you find out there's contractors that, you know, they give a little kickback to somebody at the board of supervisors or the city council. So it would be interesting if people were actually go get the voting records of who voted aye and who voted nay, and then put those people on the spot. You know, are they incompetent, belligerent towards their constituencies, or do they need to be taught the Constitution? Because everything about this mass surveillance violates their oaths of office. I'm pretty sure even down to local city police, it violates their oaths of office as well. You know, it's one of those things like the ring and the Lord of the Rings or the Palantir stones. It sounds great because you can catch some bad guys, but then it can be abused or even manipulated to frame somebody up, or as you pointed out moments ago, you know, possibly getting into people's vehicles and hacking them through their vehicles. So what do you think, Harrison? Should people be going and actually demanding that their people who vote for these things actually answer them why they voted for them versus just, you know, forgetting about it?
Absolutely. And you have to remember that you can't just, you know, have your city no longer, you know, having a contract with Flock. Once the cameras are up, the cameras basically stay up until they're taken down by the city. So you can't just say, hey, we don't want any more of these, or we don't want our police to have access to the Flock cameras. You have to actually get them to take them down, for them not to be accessible by, you know, people possibly with not the best, not your best interests in mind. So yeah, absolutely. And it's like the video that we played yesterday, and you had the Flock spokesperson saying, you know, it's not our fault these are misused. You know, the oversight has to come from the city council. Well, they're the ones who the buck stops with. And, you know, the other thing to understand is that Flock cameras are in absolutely no way necessary to do anything that they claim to do. You can easily find bad guys without a massive surveillance grid across your entire country. I mean, look at El Salvador. They somehow reclaimed their country from the murder capital of the world to one of the safest, never used Flock cameras to do it. So this is another one of these things where they create the conditions of chaos and crime and misery, and then the solution they offer is no solution at all. It's also not necessary, and it has all these negative side effects that come along with it. So absolutely, you got to go to your city council and demand that they take these things down, but more importantly, demand that they never implement them in the first place. And remember, Flock is not the only company that does this. Flock is particularly bad with what they do in terms of allowing access to everybody, or staying up even though the city's no longer paying for the contract. There are other companies that don't do that sort of stuff, but Flock is trying to corner the market. So that would be another thing to ask the city council, is what other companies did you consider outside of Flock? Why did Flock get the contract over these other, companies? What did they offer that the other companies didn't? Because It was probably a kickback scheme to the city council members, if I had to guess. And this is another thing where, is this even a left-right thing? I think people on the left would be just as outraged about the mass surveillance, especially knowing, you know, or thinking like they do, that the Trump administration is this tyrannical, you know, whatever, Nazi government. It's like, aren't you against them having permanent surveillance on every corner? Shouldn't you be against that? Just like, shouldn't everybody be against the destruction of our waterways for the benefit of data corporations that can only possibly use the technology they're building to surveil and enslave you? Everybody should be against this, and it should all be predicated on basic constitutional American values. That's the argument. So, yeah, I absolutely agree, Sean. Fantastic stuff. Let's go now to Gabrielle in Maine. Gabrielle, you are on the air. Go ahead.
Okay, hi. Thank you so much for taking my phone call.
Absolutely.
So I wanted to talk about what's going on with Trump lately and other people in the government, and how most people have been saying, what's wrong with Trump? What happened to Dan Bongino? What happened to Pam Bondi? Like, why all these people seem to all of a sudden change out of nowhere? And I know this is going to sound crazy, but it's true. And Jesse Beltran from My Nexus, who is on Redacted, talking about this same issue. And they were all saying, well, yeah, this could possibly, you know, be happening to our elected officials. And if that were to happen, we'd all be in serious trouble. Well, I'm a targeted individual. I've been being targeted since April 6th of 2022. And what I've seen in that amount of time, I just, you know, constantly trying to learn what this is, how to keep myself safe, and what sort of technology they're using against me, right? They can basically tap into people. Like, even Noah Harari says we're all hackable humans, but the technology, even Jesse Beltran has said, is that they can basically just tap into people. But no one's really saying it as a, this is real. And I'm here to say it is real. I've seen it happen around me since my targeting started. And so whenever people are like, what happened to Trump? And I'm like, I have the answer. I'm like, have my hand up going, I have the answer. Like, they can remotely tap into people and just basically start talking through that person. I know it sounds like complete sci-fi, but it's true. I've seen it happen. And I've had people, I've had, you know, my predators mock back at me through someone else saying stuff to me or saying exactly the same thing over and over to all these different people. It is programmable remotely. And I think that's what's happening to our elected officials. And I think it's being done by Israel. That's my best guess here of why it's all our whole system and government and country is being offered up to them on a silver platter, because somehow they stole that technology and now they're using it against us.
Well, what would that feel like to the person being subjected to it? Because the thing that does make sense to me is that I could understand how you could do that momentarily, but like, what would that experience be like for the person that's having it done to them? Like, do they know what they were saying? Are they compelled to say, and they think it was their own choice? They don't even know that they're being controlled. And like, if you have somebody like Dan Bongino or Trump, like, I could understand how you could manipulate them through radio waves to a certain degree, but then would you have to do that continually every day for the rest of their lives? Otherwise, they'd wake up and say, I'm being controlled. Like, how would that work?
So it's not like that. I haven't seen that. I've seen that, you know, once they have, like, it's like everyone has a different signal that they can be tracked by, right? It's your electronic signal that comes from the top of your head, which is how they track everybody, right? So they could just tap into that remotely, and they can whenever they want to. You know what I mean? So I haven't, like my mom or other people or the people who run my apartment complex and my next door neighbors, it's not all the time. It's only when they want to terrorize me or to smear me or to cause me any sort of inconvenience and or try to get me kicked out of my apartment. Like, it's a constant thing, but it's not. I mean, they're always, you know, constantly trying to ruin my life, but I don't see it as they're constantly in control of the other person. And I don't think that.
Well, thank you for the call, Gabriel. I'm sorry we have to go to commercial break. But look, the thing is, the turn of the Trump administration is so inexplicable. I'm not ruling anything out.
And microscopic tag be implanted in a person's body to track his every movement. There's actual discussion about that.
And often they're things you don't know what to do with. UBOs, they're called unidentified bright objects.
Can brain scans be used to determine whether a person is inclined toward criminality or violent behavior?
Who's got the brain that's going to be most susceptible to a particular kind of manipulation?
So the point is, they've been obsessed with this. It's going on. The COVID shots implanted the matrix, graphene oxide to grow. It's now being scanned. It's now being read. They were putting chips in the troops 30 years ago. The revolution's already here is what you're saying, Jesse Beltran.
These are just chips on a size that you can no longer see. They're nano size. One's 2,000 times the width of a human hair. The graphene oxide, the silicon-based materials that have been in, we know for a fact that they were in the mRNA. We know that Dr. Ido Bachelet signed a contract with Pfizer in 2015 when he did that TEDMed talk with a trillion robots in a 1cc syringe, and how he teaches his students how to, once they're in a host, how to control them with RF emissions.
And you heard Collins saying 21 years ago that, oh, yeah, when we're doing scans, we find all these chips, these bright objects, ha, 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 wonder who put them there. But as you said, you've been doing this 20 years, and about 10 years ago, you began to go away not seeing chips anymore, but just liquid emulsion nanotech. Here you are 6 months ago or more scanning me. Let's go to Alex Jones getting scanned.
So if you put that camera in there, you see how it says probably silicone? That means it's an electronic component. And it's not unusual to find that in the posterior ear area.
So wait, I got a higher reading than him?
No, his was higher than yours.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but you did get a positive reading there. So you are getting the you know, base of the neck is what we typically see. Scapula area. What we're finding is after post-COVID, this is very typical. We're completely bombarded by this stuff.
From your own research, there are compounds naturally in nature that just do absolutely incredible things that will draw out these type of things. But you guys have come up with one with scientists that adds these special sea minerals in that then even drags it out even more. And so I have been taking this, the dreams I've had, my skin, my health. What it's done is absolutely insane. Get masterpiece.com. Matt Hazen, tell us what this does, and people can get 10% off when they follow the URL, getmasterpiece.com, or use promo code Alex when you're there on the site, because this is really special.
Zeolite is an incredible mineral that is known as what's called the master binder, and what that means is it's known to pick up every type of forever chemical, toxin, toxic heavy metal there is, including fluoride. So when you see charcoal or carbon or clays for binders, you don't see that they will pick up fluoride. Zeolite's different. Zeolite also gets the fluoride. That's a very big deal. It is great at removing these environmental toxins from our body. Masterpiece is the highest grade sea mineral plasma solution. It is basically isotonic, the same mineral composition as your blood plasma. So the sea minerals are being carried in by the nanometer, sub-nanometer size clinoptilolite zeolite, and once the toxin hits the zeolite, it releases and displaces the mineral. People don't feel bad. There's no normal detoxing reaction.
Everybody needs to go to getmasterpiece.com. You get 10% off by using that URL automatic when you go. There's promo code Alex as well. Getmasterpiece.com.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
All right, folks, welcome back. We'll go out to your phone calls again shortly, but I want to play another video talking about another major threat to privacy and the ability to speak freely in Europe. Let's go to clip number 19. The UK government has something called chat control. In fact, the whole EU is attempting to extend controversial chat control rules in which they will scan your messages before they're even sent. Let's go now to clip number 19. The UK wants to monitor everything you send. Let's watch.
Term for this is client-side scanning, in which mobile phones have to monitor
everything you send and everything you receive on your phone. And the government say they only want to introduce this to prevent the sharing of child sexual content. But it would be very naive if we imagined that that scope won't be increased over time and that governments won't use this to censor what people are saying about them.
And they want to make it harder for people to get VPNs, virtual private networks, so they'll be aligning themselves with China, North Korea and Russia in that regard. And now they want to make all social media discussions on elections subject to the crazy Ofcom rules we have for discussing them on channels like this.
And that is, I think, deeply sinister, Jacob, because what does it mean? It means that they want to control what people are actually saying on social media. I mean, that's what they're proposing to regulate. So, you know, it would be as if treating each individual posting on X or Facebook or Instagram as if they were a broadcaster. So unless they're balanced, unless they give an audience to both sides, unless they approach something in an impartial way, presumably their content would be censored. I mean, that's Soviet levels of censorship.
Well, the problem is you get this device scanning and you then get rules saying that you can't put things up on elections. And before you know where you are, unless you put the full list of candidates standing in the next by-election, your post doesn't go up.
And it wouldn't just apply, I can't see why it would only apply to UK citizens posting on social media platforms, because that, after all, isn't the content, that's not just the content you see when you go on social media. So presumably it would also apply to overseas citizens, including US citizens. And I imagine Donald Trump and J.D. Vance would have something to say about that.
I would hope so. I would hope they would. The European Parliament is set to extend controversial legislation titled Chat Control this week in fast-track proceedings, despite the privacy backlash related to end-to-end encrypted communications. Under the extension of this rule, the technologies company would be allowed to read all messages and online communication for child sexual abuse material. This time, the extension is likely to occur under different voting rules, leading to an easy approval of these controversial rules. Martin Sonneborn, member of the European Parliament, who's a vocal critic of this legislation, posts on X, "I tried to stop the chat control today, stating, Madam President, pursuant to Article 22, you oversee this body of rules, waving to the printed rules of procedure. Declare the urgent motion inadmissible. After all, we're not in Malta here. I'd be happy to hand you the current version of the rules of procedure in person in the MEP bar." I believe he was... There was somebody, we don't need to play the video, but because he's speaking in German, you can't actually understand it, but there's somebody objecting to this in the EU, and they just cut off his mic and don't let him actually object to it. The legislation was earlier expired on April 3rd, allowing platforms like WhatsApp and Messenger to voluntarily bypass e-privacy protections to detect child sex abuse material. Later in March, European Parliament rejected a proposal from the EU Commission asking for extended And again, it's could not be more obvious. They just want to silence their own people. They want to crush opposition to their policies by silencing people speaking out against their policies. It's not complicated. They will dress it up as child sex abuse material or whatever else they feel is a valid excuse for surveilling and controlling the speech of their citizens. But at the end of the day, there's just no justification for this whatsoever, especially not when you compare the effects of the EU migration program to the child sex abuse rate in Europe. They do not care about the thing they claim to care about. They just want to surveil in order to control you. It's not complicated, really. Now, we do have some breaking news. That's not exactly surprising, but it is annoying. It's very upsetting. U.S. resumes powerful strikes on Iran after tanker attacks. U.S. Central Command said the action was a response to quote-unquote unwarranted aggression in the Strait of Hormuz. The U.S. announced a new round of strikes on Iran after several tankers were targeted while transiting the Strait of Hormuz. Iranian media reported explosions in the early hours of Wednesday in the southern province of Hormozgan, including at the ports of Bandar Abbas and Sirik, as well as Kashim Island, close to the narrowest section of the strait. U.S. Central Command CENTCOM said it was conducting a series of powerful strikes against Iran to impose heavy costs for targeting and attacking commercial shipping crewed by innocent civilians in an international waterway. The U.S. strikes are in response to Iranian attacks on three commercial vehicles that were transiting the Strait of Hormuz. Iran's demonstrated aggression was unwarranted, dangerous, and a clear violation of the ceasefire, CENTCOM said on a statement on X. So it appears as though the supposed ceasefire, the mythological, the fantasy peace agreement that was supposed to be the next step of this process is farther and farther away. Now, this is a little bit confusing because the world economy requires that the Strait of Hormuz be opened, and disaster awaits if this conflict continues for any length of time. Really, already, it's probably too late to totally undo some of the worst effects, but could get a lot worse if this conflict goes on. And of course, Trump has been tricked into all of this. Again, whether is he controlled by radio waves? I don't know. But I know that he was promised that this would be a one and done. We'll bomb the regime and then the rest of them will collapse like dominoes. That was a lie. It was only supposed to happen for like 4 days and it became 4 weeks. It's been a disaster the entire time, where they're constantly blaming Israel and then claiming not to blame Israel for getting them into it. And then every time we get an off-ramp, Israel kills the negotiators. They tried to do that again last week, and the Trump administration had to actually warn the, you know, Iranian negotiators to be careful because they were about to be assassinated by Israel. Trump obviously wanted this conclusion to be successful, was out celebrating it and bragging about having won the contest. And, you know, we've got this ceasefire and they're bending the knee and they're begging for, you know, peace. And then Israel says, but we're not adhering to the Lebanese aspect. It's just been a disaster this entire time, entirely because of Israel and Trump's unwillingness or inability to deny them anything. So it looks like it's back on. The U.S. is bombing the hell out of Iran. Three commercial vehicles were struck by projectiles earlier on Tuesday, according to the Maritime Security Agency of the UK military. And if we go back in time, the U.S. is revoking Iran's newly issued general license to export oil and reimpose full sanctions on production and sales after Iran struck four commercial vehicles in the Strait of Hormuz today. Per U.S. official, the U.S. says Iran's latest actions are wholly unacceptable and will be met with consequences. A source close to Iran's Ghalibaf says the likelihood of conflict in the coming hours is serious following the U.S. revocation of Iran's oil waivers, and Iran is set to intensify its crackdown on the Strait of Hormuz. The source tells calls the U.S. action a blatant violation of the MOU, adding that prospects for negotiation on a final agreement are now very bleak. Loud explosions heard on Kesham Island, Bandar Abbas, and Sirik near the Strait of Hormuz in southern Iran, with initial reports of U.S. conducting strikes. U.S. military has begun launching a series of powerful strikes against Iran in response to Iran's attacks on commercial vessels in the Strait of Hormuz, per CENTCOM. The U.S. has struck the IRGC fast boats at Sirik port on Iran's southern coast with boats on fire, in a massive airstrike in Bandar Abbas, southern Iran, with a large glow seen. So maybe we nuked them. I don't know. But they're saying U.S. strikes in Iran are punishment, not proportional, and won't be over for a while. U.S. targets include Iranian air defense systems, coastal surveillance systems, surface-to-air missiles, anti-ship, cruise missile sites, drone launch sites, and port facilities. So, again, it looks like the war is back on because, damn it, Israel has to kill everybody in Lebanon. And if we have to crush the world economy to get that done, that's a sacrifice that Trump is willing to make, okay? Because God forbid that Israel ever have to moderate its expansive ambition even a little bit. Remember, that's what this is all about. This is all so that Israel can have freedom of action to murder Lebanese people and suffer no consequences. That's the purpose of this. That's the reason we're doing all of this. That's the reason that we're now once again delving into our stockpile to punish the Iranians for merely defending the people of Lebanon. Mark Levin says, the major reason Benjamin Netanyahu is constantly attacked in our country, but oh my God, who cares? I'm not even reading this. Who cares? The reason he's being attacked is because he's a despicable mass murderer who should go to hell. That's the reason. I don't need to read about Mark Levin's retarded Jewish interpretation of what is obvious and apparent to absolutely everybody that's not a despicable liar like him, okay? It's very simple. You people are insufferable. You are endlessly causing the biggest problems in the history of the world. Israel is a cancerous mass of psychotic morons that are dragging America around by the nose because of our thoroughly corrupt ruling class. And one of these days, we'll just be done with you, and the world can just go back to living in peace and comfort once again without the interminable, endless destruction of Israel, constantly killing everybody, constantly violating every single thing they can. Like, it's not even like violating agreements and humanitarian concerns and basic human rights, just violating everything endlessly for their own greedy ambition so they can conquer more land around them, so they can continue to kill Arabs with impunity. You're just a bunch of despicable scumbag genocidal maniacs, and I'm sick of our country being in hawk to you. It's enough already, enough. Like, how long is this going to go on? Can we just get in a line? Please, for the love of God, just turn Israel into ash and let the rest of the world go back to peace and prosperity and cooperation. Can we, what is the barrier? What is the problem here? This is so simple. Literally everybody in the world except for them agrees. Why are they the ones to win this argument? It's nonsense. But I'm not just saying that. Like, Israel approves new illegal settlements, will further isolate East Jerusalem and deepen its unlawful occupation. Israel approves plans to establish 13 new illegal settlements in occupied Palestinian territories, and yet another example of the abhorrent and utter disregard of the international rules-based order by Israel. This forms another troubling development in the rapid deterioration situation on the ground in the occupied Palestinian territories, which calls for urgent and substantive measures by all states. The approved Binyamin plan is yet another attempt to further fragment Palestinian territory and isolate East Jerusalem from its surrounding Palestinian communities. It is situated along Route 60, the central north-south artery running through the West Bank that links Palestinian cities, including Nablus, Ramallah, and Bethlehem, while also connecting major Israeli settlements. Israel approves 13 illegal settlements as Palestinians warn over occupied East Jerusalem isolation. Yeah, well, they're not going to stop till somebody stops them. They don't care. They don't care about humanity. They don't care about how they look on the world stage. If you're not actively killing them, they're going to keep doing whatever they're doing. So it's just, again, interminable. Like, why? Why are we doing this? What is the benefit for America? And how is it that every single contradictory, newly made up excuse for why the war in Iran had to be fought, why have they all collapsed and nobody seems to change their perspective? Like, how many times was I called an idiot for not understanding that we are taking Iran's oil? It was a brilliant move to, you know, outcompete China. It's nonsense excuses do you have to come up with before you admit this is also Israel has freedom of action in Lebanon to kill a bunch of innocent people, including a massive amount of Christians that have been there since the day that Jesus walked the earth. It's just exhausting, isn't it? Isn't this exhausting, having to deal with this forever, despite the fact that we have our own insurmountable problems to deal with, incredible existential crises, multiple of them tearing us apart from the inside out, and yet all of our energy and all of our effort is dedicated to ensuring that Israel gets to kill children with impunity? I guess we should go to some videos so I don't seem like I'm just insane and rambling here. I mean, should we go to some videos? Should we go to videos of, testimony of people like doctors who were there investigating the site of Palestinian hospitals where they found dozens of children with their hands tied behind their back and gunshot wounds to their heads buried in a mass grave? Should we look at the bombing of the tent city that we're seeing here? In recognizing that these people are just literally the most murderous, unrestrained, psychotic people the world has ever seen. It is a country full of them, and they will never stop, and this has been going on. This is the thing about, like, reading things like Rise and Kill First and just going back to the history, and it's like, wow, since 1905, for 116 years, the existence of Israel has been a permanent font of conflict, a permanent generator of murder, of endless strife and chaos and destruction and, you know, interminable international conflict forever. All just because you have a bunch of Eastern European Jewish communists who decide they want to take over the Middle East and think the only possible way to do it is by inventing terrorism. Like we start off the coverage of the, you know, Eighth Front War and the Rise and Kill First book. And, you know, literally the people that founded Israel are like, Israel fell in fire and blood and it will rise in fire and blood. And it's like, you absolute demons, you devils, you satanic elves, you little monsters, you beasts in human form. What is wrong with you? And do you not understand that Israel, Judea, fell to the Romans in fire and sword as a punishment from God? But they're like, oh, well, if Israel went down in a bunch of fire and murder, maybe fire and murder is how we bring it back. It's like, yeah, maybe. Maybe, or maybe you just instigate a 115-year-long conflict that never even needed to happen because the Palestinians welcomed you there in the first place and the British created the mandate system to establish a state for you, and then you went on to kill all of them and continue the conflict and misery and chaos and murder and bombings and endless, endless. It is an endless source of destruction, Israel. It has never been anything but that. Why are we so adherent to these psychopaths? Why are we endlessly subjugated to these monsters' bloodlust? What is wrong with us? Seriously, what is wrong with us? Every day, I could be showing you more and more of the most horrifying, disgusting videos you've ever seen. And every single time, it is the Israelis reveling in it, celebrating it, taking lawn chairs so they can watch the bombing, having boat tours so they can get an up-close personal view of the horror and misery and disease and starvation that they're causing. I mean, my God, we can go on and on, but like it's just the same thing over and over forever. It's just these are the most evil people that have ever existed in the history of the world, and they have a chokehold on us that we could break with ease, with simplicity, just saying no. But, of course, then they have their diaspora throughout our entire system forcing us into this slave-like relationship. When is enough going to be enough? When are we going to stop fighting their wars for them? When are we going to stop being their bitches? When are we going? I better stop there. But seriously, how long is this going to be the situation? How long are we going to have to suffer under this? What do we need to do? Honestly, what the hell do we do about this? Because literally every person I talk to in my life, every single person, I'm talking, I was talking about earlier, like everybody gets that Israel is evil. Everybody gets that they deserve total abject destruction, that their entire leadership class should be hung by the neck until dead, like the Nuremberg criminals. They're so much worse than the Nazis ever even were. Like, you can't even compare them. The Nazis look like brilliant angels compared to the Israelis. And it's been going on for 115 years. Maybe it's just because the Nazis didn't have that long to practice. Maybe they would have refined their strategy, but no, the Israelis, just endless murder, endless massacre, endless bombing, endless strife, endless chaos. And when America doesn't want to participate, they bomb America, they attack America, they rig 9/11, they hide the information about the barracks bombing in Beirut so that 200 of our Marines can get murdered. They are our enemy. When are we going to accept this? Just beyond infuriating. Let's go out to your calls before I say something too based and true. Let's go to Dean in Utah. Go ahead, Dean. You're on the air about Tyler Robinson. Go ahead.
Yeah, before I get to Tyler Robinson, I want to comment on the books. It goes back to the burning of the Library of Alexandria, to Orwell's Speak Right Machine, to Fahrenheit 451. And the best form of book burning is the computer, where they can just change history with a click or hide it.
100%. And of course, this is, you know, Brave New World. They keep away the intellectual stuff from the regular people, but the world controllers, they know, they memorize Shakespeare, they memorize all that stuff. Fahrenheit 451. It wasn't even the government that force you to burn your books. People chose to burn their books. They wanted to burn their books. They accept it and were willingly able to embrace a non-literate society. 1984, obviously, the memory hole, and to destroy a people, first you must destroy their history. This is a persistent theme in dystopian literature because there's something fundamentally true about it. So, yes, very good point, Dean. Go ahead.
Yeah, right. Like I collect books, and I've got thousands of dollars worth of books that are virtually given away, you know.
Yep.
And a lot of them come from the libraries. So anyway, I'm very familiar with the court system here in Utah because I've been wrongfully accused going back to the 90s, and I've fought these. I know the head prosecutor, David Sturgill, he represented me for about 5 seconds. And I says, just go sit down. I'll take care of this myself.
So what do you think is going on? What do you think is really underlying what's happening?
Two things. It's a show trial, and it's to get publicity to his defense attorneys.
Hmm.
So there's been not one thing that's been presented, like you said, that's proved anything. And the story's changing. There's all kinds of stuff that's not making the news. Like they found an abandoned gun holster. And I was looking at this, and I've been talking to my son about it, my theory. Have you ever heard of the military exploding 5.56 rounds?
No, but I can understand this.
Yeah. Have the crew look it up. It's shot by drones, and you can 300 yards away or 300 meters away, 1.8 mile away, you can laser target to the exact head of a penny of Lincoln. And so yeah. This is why all these poor kids are being shot over there in Gaza. It's not good shot. It's the drones with these laser fired.
Well, and that's another aspect that I've never seen a good explanation for. There is video of what appears to be a very fast moving drone on the UVU campus while Charlie Kirk was talking. I've seen the video. It is very convincing. There's definitely something flying around there. And yet, in the hearings yesterday and today, they said there were absolutely no drones, and they reaffirmed that multiple times. So that's contradicted by video evidence. I don't know what to make of that. Thank you so much for the call, Dean. I do want to quickly go to Judy in Florida. We only have a minute left here, Judy, but I think I need your advice. How do I better express my aggression? Go ahead, Judy.
Well, yeah, I think what you need to do is find a local comedy club and just take a few news articles. And that, you know, the way you go off, I mean, you know, like you were doing Mitch McConnell earlier, and it's like, I know that, you know, like the irony and everything behind what you're saying, and you're just, you know, you're just hilarious. There was a few minutes of when you were on NXM, or NXR, forgive
NXR, me. NXR, yeah.
You were forgive me. When you were talking about the, you know, rise first and kill. And you were discussing, you know, just different instances where Jews just decided that people needed to die and die needlessly. But it was just your delivery.
if I can tell you about that and make you laugh while I do it, I think I'm doing something right, folks. I just I'd rather laugh than scream, and that's all I can do at this moment. Thank you.
We're extending America's 250th mega sale, the biggest in the history of the AllShowStore.com. That means this Monday the 6th and Tuesday the 7th at midnight central, the biggest sales ever. Buy one, get one free. Up to 60% off the best-selling supplements, Patriot apparel, 50% off, and more. Take action now at the AllShowStore.com. Have you noticed all the big universities and corporate media and governments around the world run down America all day? That's because the American system stands against their globalist system. And as the public figures that out, their corrupt, tyrannical, oppressive, communistic, anti-human death cult can't compete with what America stands for. And we stand in the shoes, on the shoulders of our forebears. Whether you're black, white, Hispanic, old, young, if you love liberty and freedom, and if you want to be free, and if you want to control your own destiny, you believe in meritocracy, then America is for you. It's under attack because the idea of it stands in the way of the enemy. And America is a dream. Just like a dream to get married or a dream to start a business or a dream to write a poem or write a song. And when you do that, those dreams come true. But we have to breathe life into those dreams. They want to kill those dreams. Don't let them break your will. Be proud to be an American and know people around the world still love America. Understand it's the globalists that have hijacked us, and we're in the process of taking our country back from the Chi-Coms and the Israel lobby and the globalists and Hollywood and the left and all of them. And that's why it's so important to support the next leg in the info war at AlexJonesLive.com. And, of course, at the AlexJonesStore.com with the widest selection of Patriot apparel, the best supplements, collectible knives, the best water filtration, and more that will empower and enrich your life while keeping this beacon of truth on the air as we accelerate into the future and as the Great Awakening prepares the final defeats of the globalists and their Great Reset. I salute you all. This is 1776 2.0. We're unstoppable together. God bless you all. Take action now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.